Sexy gas is emanating from the man to my left.
Hoorah.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vangelis, and I've got a mole inside my head, just peeling away, scraping away at my right front lobe. It's pain. How are you all doing? This is WTF at TFW, and I'm joined today by Aaron.
Who doesn't have any sort of vermin living inside of his skull.
It's like the back of my right eyeball, too, is just throbbing. Pain! I need more water.
Yes.
Also in the room with us today is Omegas Prime.
I hate to tell you, but I'm the one that paid off the mole.
That's what you get for working with moles, I guess.
You tell them.
Oh.
I'm taking the heat off you.
From all sides, they assault me, yet I continue and I persevere. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to talk to you about bump, Transformers. Are you gents ready for some Transformers discussion?
Yes.
Are you Are you prepped for some Transformers discussion?
Mostly.
Almost.
Okay, good. Because we're going to open up today with a topic all about Transformers Prime. We've got some news about Transformers Prime Season 2. That being that in a Q&A on the official Transformers Facebook page, Jeff Klein, the executive producer, said that Season 2 is going to be coming out probably and hopefully sometime between late January and early February of 2012, and not November 28th as previously reported. Now, I saw some people flip out about this and get really freaked out, and all I gotta say is, don't worry about it. The main reason I say you shouldn't worry about it is because at New York Comic Con, we learned that every episode of Prime not only takes a year to be made, but often comes in within about 48 to 2 hours of airing. And so when they have programming lapses, in my mind, I think it's less about, do we have to rethink the show? Do we have to blah, blah, blah? It's probably more about, let's let more than one episode rack up so we have something to fall back on if a delay happens. So I don't think this is any kind of, real negative, indicator on Prime's success or non-success. I think it's just a case of, let's wait till 2012.
Yeah,
start hearing our stuff again.
Looks like it's just normal schedule float. I mean, you can't, especially something CG, you know, it's not like you can go back and just bang out another scene if you need it. It's more work than that. And hopefully it means, that they're holding it back to make it better, not so that there's that cutting crazy deadline of, we're going to air in 2 hours. What do we got?
Yeah. And Derek Wyatt on Twitter, in speaking with some folks, he basically said, like, you know, the cartoon business is crazy, and the timelines in it are crazy. Yeah. And it's not like one person working on the cartoon says, hey, Hub, move our scheduled time back. We need more time.
Right.
You know, it's probably just, I think it's just a case of them wanting to rack up some more development time before they start getting into a weekly cycle again. Omegas, what do you think? Do you think Prime's in trouble, or are you just kind of thinking, oh man, no more Prime time till 2012?
I don't know. I don't see it as a sign of, well, they're in trouble now, or anything of that nature. It seems to be a very regular pushback. You see it in video games all the time, and you know, it's usually to polish it off or just give them extra development time just so they, you know, just so it comes out as good as it can. When it's time, it doesn't really bug me. As it was, it seemed like I remember finishing last prime time. We were going to double check to see when the next one was. And it's like, oh my God, we've only got like what a month and a half before we go back, which seemed considerably rushed.
Yeah, it seemed like it was reminding me of that quote unquote, you know, break between animated season 1 and 2, where season 2 kind of just rolled right off season 1. And this just seems like it's television. Not that it's anything nefarious or frightening.
Right.
It is a bummer because a lot of folks do want to see what happens. And on the bright side, it does make that teaser they put up at their New York Comic Con panel and on YouTube of season 2. It makes that teaser a little bit more worthwhile now, because it's not like, here's a teaser of something that'll be on the air in 3 weeks. Now it's actually going to be our only look at it for the next little while. That's kind of cool. Anyway, that's a little update on Transformers Prime. Don't worry, Prime will be back. It would be really dumb if they said, like, guess what, guys? Prime's canceled, even though we spent all the money and year and a bit making season two.
Right.
Anyway, moving on from there, let's just do some new picture picks. I want to know what you guys have been looking at this week. I'm curious. Omegas, what have you been looking at this week?
Something that came up that I thought was really interesting was a 1 1/44 scale Starscream.
Oh, I saw that, and then when I saw that link, I was like, oh, right, I remember now that was announced, and I just glazed over it.
One and movie 2/3 decos. Not only in the paint job of Starscream, but in this little bumblebee that they both come with.
I hadn't seen the bumblebee.
Yeah, it comes with, looks like a little matchbox style.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And a holographic pilot as well. That's the most Transformers-y thing on there, I think. Oh, you know what? I thought that bumblebee was just a scale comparison thing using like a, what do you call them? The matchbox style ones.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized that was actually part of the kit.
Which just kind of drastically, it's just a very good highlight of, this is why we don't have things in scale.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Like, yeah, you look at those and you're like, guess what? Those both can turn into the same size robot, kind of.
That's just one of those things that makes me, I'm glad they're releasing it just so we have this basis now.
Right. And
if we try to put it in scale, this is what it would be.
And that's one thing that always gets me when people cry about scale. Or cry is probably a rough word, but complain about scale.
Why do you realize, why do you hate the fandom?
Yeah, because it's years of doing this, jaded. It's because airplanes, especially fighter jets, are huge in comparison to something like an automobile or even a semi-truck.
Yeah, and you know what's weird is Transformers is what taught that to me. You'd think that given that I've flown on airplanes constantly, it wasn't until I thought about the scale logistics of Transformers toys that I realized just how large a fighter jet can be.
Yeah.
What a sheltered life I lead. Omegas, are you thinking of picking this up at any point?
I'm not sure if I'm going to pick it up. You know, cool as it is, I'm not quite sure what I would do with it.
Oh, you'd put the Starscream jet down and open the cockpit slightly so you can see a holographic pilot inside, and then maybe set the Bumblebee down next to it, maybe at a sort of parallel angle.
Yeah, I don't have horizontal shelving space for this thing.
Hang it off the ceiling.
Yeah, come on.
Classic style.
So I just get to see its underside all day.
Yeah,
no, you hang out upside down.
Fishnet, I'm at fish and line.
It's doing a trick. It's barrel rolling.
Just pull out some fish nets. Just wrap it in fish nets. Hang it off the ceiling. You'll be fine. I'm not sure if I'm misunderstanding this one shot, but are there LEDs in the thrusters on the back?
It looks like there is. Nothing in the description that says...
Yeah, that rear shot, that's definitely lighting from inside. It looks like there might be a switch on the base.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I see the switch.
So I wonder if there is some sort of power supply that goes up in it. Because we also see an underside shot with the weapons bay doors open and the landing gear down.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's... externally powered, if there's two little contacts inside of those ports. If so, really cool.
Yeah, that's some neat stuff.
So for the psychological deal, a Lockheed Martin F-22 empty weight is 43,000 pounds. A Chevrolet Camaro's curb weight is 3,750 pounds.
Hmm.
So.
Well over twice the weight.
Ten times. More like 12 to 14 times the weight, depending on loaded max takeoff weight, all
well,
that stuff. So,
well over twice the weight.
Yeah, so it's going to be well over twice the size.
Yeah, I don't know. If anyone out there picks one up, you know, let me know. I'm curious who's going to go for this. Because as far as model kits go, I do think it looks pretty cool. It's just also not really my thing because it's jet. Although I do like LEDs. Anyway, Aaron, what would you like to show us?
Some toys have hit retail yesterday and today, actually, as we're recording this.
Ooh.
Yesterday, showing up at retail in the U.S. at least, is Generations Junk Heap and Sky Shadow.
Yeah.
Showed up in Tucson, Arizona at a Toys R Us. So we have finally our repaint so that you can have Rekgar riding someone.
I just bought another Rekgar.
Finally.
Yeah. But these were a lost wave. A lot of people thought that they weren't going to be coming out, and there's Junk Heap and like a dark red and yellow, gaudy as can be. And then also Sky Shadow in black and red. So be on the lookout at Toys R Us. But also hitting today at Toys R Us, about 3 hours ago is the news story, is Transformers Prime First Edition.
Damn it.
So the Wave 1, which is a 4 Bumblebee, 2 Starscream, 2 RC case.
Yep.
Appears to have shown up.
So basically, if you do need to hold off on buying any of them, the first one to hold off on buying is Bumblebee.
Yeah, Bumblebee's going to be heavily packed, and I think even, that's what we were talking about before, even Wave 2 of, or no, not Wave 2, Wave 1 and a half of,
1.5
of Prime is, I want to say, what did we figure it was? It was
three
Bumblebees, 2 Starscreams, 2 Cliffjumpers, and 1 RC.
Right.
So if you're not sure and you don't have the New York Comic Con set, I'd say go for RC if you see her out and about, because she's going to be the one that goes and it gets very difficult to find.
Yep.
And then Starscream, and then Cliffjumper, and then Bumblebee.
And if it helps at all, of the first three in Wave 1, Starscream and RC are the two best toys of the three.
Right.
So you're not losing.
I mean, not to trash on Big Bad Toy Store, but you can see how they think things are going to break out, because you can no longer individually pre-order Cliffjumper, because that's what has sold out. But the RC is $19.99. The Starscream is $12.99, and Bumblebee is $10.99.
Yeah, and that's also not very much more than what I had to pay for RC.
Right. Hugs. So it looks like we're coming up out of this toy drought. Nowhere yet has seen Voyagers. Am I right in that? I know
no,
that Canada's got
China.
The entertainment pack, and then China or Hong Kong or Singapore or wherever has seen the Voyagers. So,
and Canada's seen the entertainment pack at a really poor price, and unfortunately I think I'm going to have to pay that if I want that Megatron.
Well, it's the same price that you can pre-order it at Big Bad at $35.
No, it's $45 here.
Oh, it's $45?
It's $45, and then you add tax, which means it's about $50.
Excuse me while I turn North and Nelson laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I've already seen those things everywhere. Those and Bumblebee are the things that don't sell. And I've looked at it many times, and I'm like, man, this Megatron toy looks so good. Oh, man. This Optimus, I know, is pretty good. Oh, man.
The rough thing with those two packs that have had those pack-ins, they always seem like either they sell like crazy or they don't move.
Yeah, and I thought, like, oh, you know, maybe I'll wait for a sale. And then before the recording, you mentioned that often those store exclusive-y things don't really go on sale. But I just remembered Canadian Toys R Us just put two of their exclusive Dark of the Moon 3-packs on sale.
Really?
One Dark of the Moon and one non-Dark. Basically, the 3-pack with Gray Shockwave and then Pointless Optimus and Bumblebee, that was put on sale. And then the 3-pack of War for Cybertron guys was...
Okay.
They knocked $15 off that. So I'm going to...
$15 off in the U.S. would make that a great deal. $15
over
off
here
in Canada
makes
it a normal.
Because that 3-pack of War for Cybertron was $50 over here as well. So, and I don't mean 40, I don't mean 44 and then tax, I mean $49.99. So now it is on sale for $35 plus tax.
But yes, the drought is potentially coming to an end here.
At least briefly.
Yeah. Hopefully the first edition stuff will trickle out just enough that it keeps giving us that hit that we want.
I don't want it to trickle. I want the Voyagers and Cliffjumper to show up next week. I need me a Bulkhead, and I need me a Rocky Maivia. But I'm impatient. So
we all are.
Yeah, man, new toys. I've been hunting at Toys R Us's around here because my town is that I'm in now is the first one to get them in Canada, as far as I know. So I was like, I was going all over the place, and I was like tweeting, and I was telling people about, you know, what I was seeing and when and where, and I felt all like I was contributing something. It felt felt really
well.
Good.
That's, I mean, I knew that with the way that releases have been lately that the odds of seeing it was going to be soon, and with the U.S. Toys R Us distribution seems to be whenever it hits, it hits. It's in the system now, and that one store was just the one that was running at the far end of the bell curve. And so any Toys R Us, odds are, I would say, within the next 2 to 3 weeks is going to start seeing it, especially with next week being Thanksgiving and the start of the, oh my God, it's crazy Christmas shopping season. So
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's one of them weird U.S. things.
Oh, no, that's right. His Thanksgiving's at a weird time.
Yeah, no. We did ours already. You guys are catching up.
Okay. Whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night.
Tell myself the worst thing is to sleep at night.
Yeah.
I have a pair of new pick picks myself.
All right.
To close this one off. First one is an amazing new Transformers animated item that I was told about on Twitter, thanks to Derek J. Wyatt, friend of the show and broadcast and podcast. It's this amazing new vehicle for the animated Seekers. I think it's pretty cool. And upon inquiring if that was a Robmobile, he told me that he bought that for his Superpowers Robin. And then when he got home and opened it, he realized he didn't know where his Superpowers Robin was. So that's what you get for buying a Robin vehicle, I guess.
Oh. Well, the R's for Ramjet. It still works.
It does.
Give me an Action Master.
It's Action Master Animated Clone Ramjet. But my other new pick is something, you know, for my countrymen. The Asia-exclusive Year of the Dragon Ultimate Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ultimate Optimus Prime, packaged in vehicle mode in a box that says Year of the Dragon Edition on the front. And his trailer is now red and has a golden dragon on the side. And specifically for Ultimate Optimus Prime, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because that works so well for this big, crazy, insane robot. Now he's got red trailer parts and like a golden dragon splayed across them. I kind of want this.
He gets new butterfly wing deco too.
Yeah, I kind of really want this, but it's going to cost too much money, I'm so sure. Will you buy it for me, Aaron?
Probably not.
Oh...
I thought I saw that it wasn't going to be. Maybe I saw some somebody else's thinkings, but it was like probably going to be like 150, maybe.
I don't want to pay 150 for it.
Yeah, I thought I saw somebody's. Maybe it was somebody talking about it on Twitter, or they were trying to do the math of, even though it's an exclusive, it's going to be in line with Chinese New Year, so it's not. It's like maybe going to be an area exclusive, not necessarily a store exclusive, but
yeah,
that it's not. It's a $70, $80 toy now, so maybe at double ish. But then again, you're talking about Asia market, and that always does weird stuff for prices anyway.
Yeah, I just really want a crazy Ultimate Optimus Prime with golden dragons on his red pants. It's what I want.
Sad thing is, if this had come out last year, there'd be a big gold drag or a big gold rabbit on the side.
Oh man, Year of the Rabbit Ultimate Optimus Prime.
That'd be badass.
That'd be the best.
Holding out for Rooster.
I really want this thing. Anyway, I'm hoping that once it comes out, if it comes out, there will be some awesome pictures of it, because I'm gonna have to vicarious this one out and then live through other people's experiences.
No, you won't. BotCon next year.
I'll be buying it.
Squee like a little girl.
Oh, here, have my money. And it'll be like, thank you, little girl. I'm like, eee. I'm not bad at being a little girl, I'm not going to lie. It's been a mistake made online once, and I tried to ride with it as long as I could. Anyway,
I could have gone the rest of my life without hearing you say that you are not a bad little girl.
I am the hottest girl on the internet. Throwing money down right now.
Let's throw up in my mouth a little
bit. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, new pick picks. That aside, this is there's a double whammy of really cool headlines today that I really want to go into whilst I am still conscious and not shutting down. But we have a pair of design topics. First up, Alexander Kobalski on his DeviantArt has posted up a whole bunch of Transformers toy concept and design images. And what I heard is that this is that Australian guy from Takara Tomy's design team that we have heard of before. Among the things he's shown off, like he's the guy who designed Classics Hound's transformation scheme, and he's got a scan up of the pencil on paper design for that, which is really cool.
Right.
A whole bunch of other things: Transformers animated Bumblebee, animated Hot Rod. That's kind of amazing too. He's got a really good looking resume here, and again, I love being able to see this kind of stuff from this angle. You know, like seeing this stuff from this much behind the scenes. So
I really like the Hot Rod where it has the four different color shaded things. It's kind of just in the background you know, four copies of sketch of alt mode and robot mode, and then areas colored. You know, his legs are colored red on the robot, so then on the car they show colored red where those parts go, kind of as the help to visualize how things work. I think that's really cool.
Oh, absolutely. This is the kind of stuff that usually we only get to see at BotCon. So I love that some of it is now on DeviantArt. Also, this was brought up on the front page post, but in the design sketch for Voyager Sea Spray, he calls it Classic Sea Spray, while the design pick calls it Movie 2 Sea Spray. So take that as you will.
Right.
Anyway, there's just a whole bunch of cool stuff in here. And I don't really know where to go with it aside from just waving my hands at it and saying I like this. So Omegas, what's one of these that you like?
Oh man, this gets a little tricky. I like seeing any of the behind scenes stuff because the design concepts and processes of this just kind of fascinates me. I am rather amused by the animated Bumblebee sketches.
Hmm.
Mostly because, some of the concept stuff.
Yeah.
From like 06.
Oh, I like how they actually worked the transformation in several different ways so that they could utilize it on the show.
Yeah, yeah. This shows the quote-unquote breakdance transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really like that you pointed out the date because, man, like, this 06. I love it. Aaron, what's one of these things that you are taking a look at more so than others?
Well, I like I said before, I like the Rodimus Minor Hot Rod one. Also, just the fact that apparently he's got one of the gray mock-ups of Mirage that he seems to be having fun with posing. He's got like four or five pictures of him posing different, running and leaping and shoosting. Shows that apparently he worked on that one too and must like it.
Yeah, and I really like seeing the stuff he worked on because it's, as with many of those other designers, it's really cool to see, you know, you see all these Transformers that were all worked on by the same guy and you start to realize, like, oh man, these are some of the similarities they have.
Right.
Because
he also worked on the Brawn Outback. It looks like the one that they have that they're showing is a slightly different version than what we got. It looks like it has a chopped back on it, rather than I think it had more of an arched back at the end. But it's just cool to see the sketches versus the, you know, how it ended up in plastic in that gray proto form.
And for those of you who like things that are not Transformers, he also worked on some Batman stuff, which you can probably check out. One of them being this really fun looking set of Penguin vehicles. I really like there's one of these Penguin vehicles, the one on the lower part of the picture. It's like this little like bird shaped jet thing that can like open up into a little like almost like throne or a little escape pod.
Oh yeah, the hover chair deal.
Yeah, that's such a cool Penguin idea. Penguin just chilling out with this like penguin shaped dome over his head, or the bat tank.
Yeah, the one that caught me was the Robin's motorcycle, because he has like animated prowl ideas, and so then this one has like a transforming rear section that turns into some sort of flying drone.
Oh wow!
Wonder if he had crossover, like, hey, yeah, I got motorcycles right here.
I was just looking at the animated prowl sketch. Just kind of fascinating to see how much they had planned that never really happened. He's supposed to be using his wheel legs a lot, his inner gadgets in them for climbing walls, etc. And it seems there's a half-transformed shot of him with a proto-Sari riding him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's kind of cool is way back when I first got the toy, I was kind of messing around with him in a lot of those kind of poses with his kneecaps, you know, arched forward, or the top half of him transformed while the rest is not. I really like the one where he's like up against the wall with suction cups on his tires.
Yeah.
That's all some really cool stuff.
Need to see more of that knee as wheel use than the whole Zero, I think we got.
Yeah. Anyway, if anyone out there listening has some interest in design picks, like this is a really fun little, I'd still call it a treasure trove. It's not a big treasure trove, but it's like, hey, you know what? I bet you didn't think you were going to find a gold doubloon. Well, you just tripped over one. So
yes. Neat little time capsule.
Yeah. Cash it in. And do check it out. There should be a link in the topic list. Also on the design level, an interview came out today with several of the Japanese dudes working at Takara Tomy. Japanese dudes working at Takara Tomy. That's a poor descriptor.
As opposed to the Portuguese dudes working there.
Exactly. But it's
gotta work somewhere.
It's a pretty cool interview. Among the things discussed in there, there's a whole lot of stuff about how they designed parts of Striker Optimus Prime. Like they specifically tried to get the color scheme to be a little bit more akin to what you saw on screen in the movie. And in the Sentinel Prime interview, they actually mentioned a little bit more about their process for designing movie toys. You know, because they don't, especially with new characters, they don't actually know how their transformation works in the movie until the thing's already about to go into theaters. So they just have to look at, I think in his own words, it's like they look at the two modes and try to figure out a way for them to transform where it's still got enough of a case of parts moving around in a satisfying way, I think is the way they put it.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this interview, especially because it was all video style and there was a guy speaking weirdly accented English at the front.
Yeah, I was trying to nail down what that accent was, if that was just a very clean Japanese accent. Or
I really don't know.
Or maybe it's Portuguese and I'm just not recognizing.
Damn Portuguese accents. I just don't get it. But did either of you guys check? I'm guessing, Aaron, you checked out the interview. Was there anything in there that stuck with you in particular?
I like the way that they talk about Cyberverse, that they expect, you know, since it's the lower price point that people are going to buy, and I think by people they talk about kids, are going to buy more of them and enact their favorite battles and the like. But actually going through and watching it again, and in the first stage interview at 1 minute and 33 seconds, he has an Energon Sharkticon on top of his pile.
I was
of stuff
wondering
next to the
if
desk.
Anyone noticed that.
First thing I noticed, first thing Proto Man noticed, it sounds like the first thing you guys noticed. Yeah, they show a shot of the guy's design desk, and there's big tubs of toys everywhere, and on top of one of them is Energon Sharkticon.
Well, I've got it paused right here, and it probably doesn't help, or it probably helps make it pop that he's sitting on top of what looks like one or two movie two. Jetfires. So it's this black area and then something bright and colorful. Because then on his desk he has, looks like a G1 Megatron, one of the Voyager Primes from this line. I see some flame colors on around, so he's working on quite a few different primes. And then he has a boxed up Cannon Force Ironhide and something else that's being obscured. And some Nintendo, that's the Autobots Nintendo 3DS game. doing desk analyzation here. And people walking in the background around his desk. How dare they?
Now, considering the timing of this, I'm wondering if that shark, since as far as I know, even in like USA edition, they didn't get Sharktacon in any way. I'm wondering if we didn't witness like the origins of the Axelon repaint that's coming out.
That would be cool if it just came about. Like, you know, he had it on his desk and was just kind of messing with it and was like, hey, let's try color
palette. Why don't we have this one?
Yeah. Anyway, Omegas, was there anything in there aside from the Energon Sharktacon that really stuck out to you?
That pretty much nailed it for me.
I mean, that was the part that I really, yeah, I was like, Sharktacon. Yeah. This interview, though, I gotta say, I mean, this is probably part of its job, but it did sell me more on the concept of Striker Optimus Prime. I think I far more so now understand the value it holds, even though I am not really chomping at the bit to purchase one. It does seem like a pretty cool release. Very expensive, pretty cool release.
Well, I do like how he also talks about how he prefers, you know, even though we have CAD and all this other tech, it's still feels right to do everything by hand on paper first, and then once I feel satisfied with that, I can feel better about making it into the actual CAD design.
Mm.
Which that's one of those things that sounded like a neat kind of dedication to the craft. I just noticed one of the things that they pan over. They originally were calling Sentinel Ultra Magnus.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
237. On the video where it shows Sentinel transformed and it has the Transformers 3 logo up top and Ultra Magnus.
Oh man. I think that sounds like what would have happened if they'd called Sentinel Prime Ultra Magnus in animated. A whole bunch of people going like, "You did what? With who?"
I remember something along those lines where it was the same situation they had with animated Sentinel Prime, who was supposed to be Rodimus.
Right.
Where they wanted, you know, we can't solely make that character Sentinel.
That's what I meant. I got that mixed up. I'm sorry about that. I'm very out of my head right now.
Yeah, your mole just pushed that out of your head for a second.
So yet again, we're saving Sentinels to be the dicks.
Sentinel's a dick, yes.
When I go to the washroom,
Sorry. What? Movie 3 spoiler. Sentinel's a dick.
Animated spoiler. Sentinel's a dick.
Well, that's far enough back that we don't got to worry about.
Probably Sentinel. Prime.
Yeah, if he shows up in Prime, he just shows up and he just punches Optimus.
No, don't trust him. Odds are good. He's a dick. Oh, you trusted him. Well, crap. There goes the neighborhood.
Sprays Lysol on Miko.
So I'm really hoping that, because this was on the Takara Tomy YouTube channel, I really hope they keep doing things like this for notable new toy releases. I really like the style of these interviews. I really liked the way it was delivered, and I think that it's, as I always say, this kind of stuff really makes the toys feel more valuable to me as well. As just the information they're sharing with us, because I'm like, now I know tidbits about this toy. I know that this little piece here had a hard chip on. I know this piece was designed to do this.
Goes from being a consumer product to something that somebody's worked on.
Yeah, exactly.
This is somebody's job.
Mm-hmm. And their creativity focused into it as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, please check out that interview. It's not very long, and it's if you've been avoiding the other interviews that were translated because they were, you know, they were magazine things, you had to read them. This one you don't even have to read. You can just turn on a video and watch it and then read the subtitles. It's totally worth your while. Please check it out.
It's not even 5 minutes long. It's very fun.
Yeah, I'm hugely into it. And between that and those design picks, this week just really made me hope that we could have more of this happen. And it made me remember all the other times that I thought we had something going on, like way back when I mentioned this in another episode in past, but I still always fondly remember the times when they were putting up like director's commentary for toys briefly on some of the smaller toys coming out, where they're like, here's why we did these deco schemes. I like that kind of stuff. Anyway,
thrilled so much that we couldn't talk.
We're all just sitting here starry-eyed, like, just, oh man,
blown away.
Designers. Oh. do you guys want to do a listener question?
Sure.
Because we've got a, well, you're going to do it anyway.
You can't give this guy options. You know this, right?
You know what happens when you start thinking, like, hey, what if we do this? Then what's going to happen is someone ends up with a pair of pants stitched to the back of their head and blood everywhere. Beautiful, gorgeous, warm, steamy, red, salty blood. Blood. We have a listener question from Trans Ranger, which was sent in on September 26, 2011. That's one pseudonym. You may know him as something else as well, which will be revealed at the end with a dash. But Trans Ranger says, hey there, Evangelists and the heroes of WTF. Ore Sanjo. Always wanted to pose this question to your particular team of geeks here. If there was a Transformers Universe tabletop RPG, what character would you roll? Using anything that's ever been seen in TF Universe, from future terrorists, target masters, intergalactic military like Marissa Fairborn, to power-armored headmaster or a construction worker. For example, Trans Ranger would roll up a target master with a sparkless Autobot named Crackshot, his target master character named Trigger would pilot, and the was part of the description there. So he says, what character would you make? Keep on keeping on, dash Keith Justice. P.S.
What?
Yeah. P.S. Only one of you can give a silly answer like a chicken transformer who can transform into Spike's helmet later. Well, thank you, Keith. Keith is a fellow I podcast with sometimes. He's a big fan of Kamen Rider Denno, and you want to talk to him about Denno. He's your man. He knows all about that show.
Oh yeah,
one of his favorites. I mean, he's every time we start podcasting, he just comes in. He's like, "Hey guys, Ore Sanjo." And then we're trying to say what we're doing, and he just keeps dropping those quotes. He loves his Imogen. Anyway, Aaron, you've played tabletop games.
Yes, I've run many tabletop games.
Hey, you've tabletopped some tabletop games.
And in the power level that I normally must have as the person running it, I'd have to roll up an alternate character.
Twink!
Yep.
You have to earn that alternity. You can't just roll up alternity.
Well, no, you don't. Not when you're the one. Die. Not when you're the one sitting behind the screen with most of the dice.
Oh, you're just going to spawn alternities on people. I see.
Yes.
How it is. Okay. Yeah.
Just be the Hytherion.
I'll flip your screen over. See who's laughing after that. Yeah. Okay, so Aaron would be a DM and yes. Hytherion and an alternate. He'd be the guy you want to beat up afterwards outside in the parking lot.
No, I'm the one that provides the enemy, that provides the fun, because without the person behind the screen, you're all just sitting around looking weird.
Those sound like the words of someone who has been abused for their DMing.
Yes, quite a bit. But, but if you are a DM and you've not been abused for being a DM, you're too much of a friend to the player characters.
Yeah. What is a DM until they have caused one of their best friends' favorite characters to die due to a freak accident and a rolled snake eyes?
Yeah. You have to challenge a player in order to make them really appreciate it, because if it was all just a cakewalk of like, hey, you walk in, you kick the goblin, you get the dragon's hoard of treasure, and now you can destroy anything up to elder gods. There you go. It's like, oh, cool, we're super powerful, but we didn't do anything to earn it.
Here's a room full of elder gods.
Yeah. But if you make them earn that through strife and pain and suffering, then they feel like they've earned it.
And a little bit of healthy sadism always helps, too.
Yeah. A lot of healthy sadism.
Aaron shows his true colors, ladies and gentlemen. Omegas, what would you roll up in a tabletop?
Nothing that prickish. I know, I always kind of like the rogue class a little bit, but I never played the villain of any kind. I'd probably roll up something akin to an Autobot Swindle.
Is that a repaint coming out soon?
Probably.
Oh, good. So you'd want to be an Autobot with a lot of equipment that you could sell to your player buddies?
Yeah, a little bit of a black market dealer.
Hmm. All right.
Just in case Hytherion shows up, I'd really like to rogue. Yeah, I'd really like to cut a deal on a massive plasma cannon, just in case.
I have a gun and the bullets are Hytherion's.
The bullets are math. Wasn't that Cliff Jumpers? Was he punching Cliff Jumpers in the past?
Yeah, no, he has the math cannon because he's not Alternity, because they tried to explain to Cliff Jumper what it meant to become an Alternity Transformer, and he said, that is too confusing. Just give me a gun that shoots math.
Yep. That's what it was.
I would want to roll up... I had this wonderful answer a second ago, and it just fell out of my head because I'm tired and there's a mole in my brain. While I'm thinking about, what would you guys call a chicken transformer exactly? Just playing off of his little PS here. Any ideas for a chicken transformer?
Kerbok.
Kerbok.
If it transforms into something that flies through space, can I call it a shuttlecock?
Oh, man. I was sitting here thinking, there's no way they can easily just put a dick joke in that. They can't just say, let's call him Cockbot. Cockblocker. He's got huge shoulders. No, there you go. It happened. It happened, and people laughed. Man, who would I... Oh, you know what I'd roll up? I remember now. I'd roll up the equivalent of my 4th edition D&D character, Frank. So I need to roll up a halfling paladin who shoots lasers out of his magic. And then I'll be set to go. Otherwise, I'd need to see the system. I'd need to see the rules.
Right.
So I could game them and then crush Aaron and his legion of Alternity NPCs.
Not if I'm actually rolling as the Hytherion, because I'll just spawn off infinite copies of the Infinity.
I like the idea of you saying that while you're rolling dice.
Yeah.
I'm currently rolling to see if I spawn infinite copies of the Infinity.
I just have to get a number greater than zero. Oh, look.
Then your dice turn to dust when they hit the table. Like, this wasn't meant to be.
That's why I have a whole bag of them. Eventually one of them will like me. Just don't tell my players I said that.
Yo, guys! I hear your DM is... never mind.
Oh, they know.
I keep this secret from them all. Maybe we could do one more listener question. I left room in there because I wasn't sure how long the design picks would take us. But I guess I didn't account for my brain being half shut off during this recording.
All right.
Oh, here we go. Here's one from... it's an MP3 I don't have. I'm sorry, Purdue AV. See, I was going to pick out someone that was all topical and stuff.
Yeah, I'm helping him out. I'm sending him a Shinkin Gold.
Ooh. You know what? We have one here from Shiojin Romu, which is... He's the guy who sent in that last question we had on Primetime. Since we're not going to have another Primetime for a few months, you guys want to just do this now?
Sure.
We're three quarters of Primetime.
Yeah.
You can give it a try. All right. Listener question from Shiojin Romu. It says, quote, thank you for handling my last listener question on the TFW Primetime podcast. I have another topic to contribute to your discussion. The last Primetime episode helped me realize that in the world of Prime, the Autobots are stranded on Earth, having been given a human liaison and an entire base to work out of, as well as various pieces of human computing equipment, period. However, as the show goes on, it increasingly feels to me like the humans are taking an unusual hands-off approach to the secret war being fought on their planet. There have been instances of humans supporting the Autobots in the past, such as Fowler swooping in to save the day, but I feel like the humans aren't quite being supportive enough of their Autobot heroes. The government knows they're there, so why aren't they helping the Autobots locate the Energon deposits on Earth? Why don't the Autobots have a team of humans around them to help coordinate anti-Decepticon efforts, for instance? I understand that the Autobots prefer not to share Cybertronian technology with the humans, but I feel like the humans should be able to do more to interact with the Autobots or do more to combat the Decepticons by themselves, rather than just leave it all up to Optimus and his team. How does the podcasting team feel about this? Friendly greetings to the team and take care, Shio. I have a short answer to this, which is animation budget. That's the short, unfun answer. That's why there aren't. That's why you can't have the Gaugaigar team sitting around that base with all the robots inside of it, and the kids as well. But as far as actual story reasons, I'm sure this is something that you could kind of peel open a little bit. I'm sure that. Another easy answer is lots probably happens off screen, especially with mech. But yeah. I also suspect that. to some degree, I think the Autobots probably only have a few allies. There's probably a lot of people, like, there already are not many people who know about them. And of the people who know about them, I would not be surprised if there are some who do not care very much for the Autobots, but, you know, they don't make a big deal of it out of it for the sake of either their hierarchy in the group they're in, or for the sake of, you know, the greater good. But Aaron, how do you feel about this question?
I think it actually there's a decent explanation of the fact that it's so far beyond what humans can really do that the most that humans can really do is a support position, which is what the mountain base is. You know, when you're talking about the power of the weapons that comes around modern day human technology, which is basically what Prime is, has no real counterpart. Only Mech, who appears to be insanely privately funded and scavenging on this technology with, you know, no care as to you know, which side they're picking. They just want giant robot parts. Yeah. So they're going at it that way. But the U.S. or human military or whatever, you know, they don't want to tell their potential allies, these guys that they can tell are protecting them, like it or not, you know, hey, we want you, you know, pick the small one, take her apart, you know, so that we can know how this stuff ticks so we can do something with it. And they're not getting the opportunity maybe to get at wrecked Decepticons because the Autobots up until, you know, when somebody flips over and decides to go bug nutty, you know, they still show respect for the fallen Decepticons maybe. And so they're not telling their allies, hey, you know, here's a bunch of corpses. Why don't you loot through that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the human military, just there's not a whole lot they can do for it anyway. And quite frankly, you know, one or two human soldiers in the mix are only going to be things to get smushed underfoot, as we often see the kids almost have happened, but oh wait a second, character shields.
Yeah. Omegas, how do you? I have some actually I can add to this, but first, Omegas, what would you say to this question?
There's probably a mix of reasons. Most notably, especially when you go into something like, I think you forget at one point that it's not just giant robots, you know, are here on Earth. It's giant alien robots are here on Earth. You raise a lot of questions when alien life forms comes up, a lot that most are not comfortable with, and you also have the whole thing of, well, basically these will be seen as giant weapons by a lot of allies. Basically, right. It comes down to a need-to-know basis, maximum top-secret top-secret situation as it is.
Yeah.
I get the feeling from the show that Fowler is literally their only government contact, where everyone else is just told, we have private allies, you know, you're, trust me, you know, you're just funding a project with modern cell phones.
With the Dingus episode, did they have other humans that were around, or was it just Fowler?
I can't remember.
The train job episode, for those that don't remember what the Dingus is.
Yeah. They had people driving the train, so they would have to have some assistance, but
yeah.
It seems to me they weren't reckless about transforming either.
Yeah.
So it seemed to me that they were keeping it as private as they possibly could.
The thing that I think is also worth pointing out that I recall now, at least, is that Fowler, he's U.S. government, right?
I can't remember for sure if it was ever stated that he was U.S. or just government.
Because if it's a single government in a world full of governments, I'm sure that's another reason to keep it so quiet and to keep their distance from them. Because, you know, like, this takes it outside the realm of a kid's show, but sort of into the realm of Dark of the Moon. What if the Autobots? What if it became like global knowledge that the United States of America had this team of highly trained warrior robots being given political asylum in their country? Because then you'd get other international powers going like, hey, we don't like that they have a bunch of giant robots, because what if they decide one day that, you know, those giant robots need to fight their enemies for them, and then they come over here and start a Michael Bay movie on us?
Yeah, we can't have that.
The wiki saying that he is liaison between the U.S. government and the Autobots.
Okay, yeah. I mean, to me, that's a great... I don't know if it'd be intentional, but that's a great in-universe way of answering that question, too, is that they don't want to show too much support, because what if someone took a photo of it and got it out there? What if it got WikiLeaked, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what if WikiLeaks existed in Prime, and they went like, by the way, the U.S. government has a team of giant transforming alien robots living in a mountain who have a teleportation system that allows them to go almost anywhere on our planet. That would not go well at the next UN picnic. It would be a mess, probably. Yeah. Also, plot-wise, the one I wanted to add in is that I think by having the Transformers so separate from the humans and, you know, making them, you know, so disjointed from humanity aside from their few allies who they keep around, I think that also helps enhance mech in a way as well. Because that shows you, like, mech is not just, there are a bunch of humans who don't like Transformers. It's like, they're the only humans on the show so far who have been shown to be capable of opposing Cybertronian life. And it's kind of, I think, enhancing to them in a character sense that there is no foil to mech. There is no good guy mech that right. Mech fights against. Mech just fights the Transformers. And by having so few human allies in the Transformers, I think it kind of accentuates mech a little bit as well. But that's just me. Any other thoughts on this question?
No.
I'm good.
It's a good question. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
GOG, if you're listening, feel free to answer this question on your own time, anywhere. Next episode, in the thread, wherever you want. You're prime time, too. Yeah, actually, you know what? There's one other part of this question, though, because this whole time I've been thinking in a military sense, but when it comes to locating energon deposits, I think that is something where it's not really a plot hole, but that's one where there's a lot of opening for interpretation, because you wouldn't necessarily, you could probably, like, if you go by the movieverse, which I'm kind of stepping into muddy waters already by doing that for hard story reasons, but I think that, you know, the human government or the U.S. government could set up covert energon detectors to look for those deposits without obviously being, you know, working with an alien superpower.
Yeah.
That said, maybe that's going to be an episode that comes up where it's like, hey, guess what? It turns out that Russia this whole time has been scanning for energon and saving it up in a giant chimney, and they have all the energon now. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the detection for that side of it would be a little bit easier to do, but still, I think a lot of that would come down to, you know, by the time you're doing a military operation, somebody's got to know about it.
Yeah.
And so then that somebody is yet another opportunity to leak the giant secret of MFN robots on our planet that are from another planet that are super destructive. You know, it's... Because even things that are supposedly super duper top secret, like Area 51, are well known as, hey, there's something going on there. The government denies it with kind of a wink and a nod at times, but, you know, you're not going to be able to hide something like giant robots if you start letting people other than, you know, one liaison dude know about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those cases where for all the questions it's raising, it seems, I feel that there are logical ways to cover for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
As far as we know so far anyway, having only seen season one, who knows if this is going to get cracked wide open in season two. But, yeah, as I said before, this is a very good question. I liked it. Transformers Prime. Well, fingers crossed we get to see that sooner than later, but I'm okay waiting until 2012. Gives me time to recover. Get into the new year.
Early 2012 is not much more than a month away.
Don't tell me that. It's next year.
Okay.
It's next year. Well,
yes, it's next year. It's a whole year away.
Yeah,
you've got plenty of time.
Phew. Let me tell you, man. Anyway, thank you for your question, Shiojin Romu. This seems like a good place for an intermission, so we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna come back with what we got this week, where as has been said before, the drought is drying up, and in my case, I just have a big dry pants load of... Wait.
That doesn't work that way.
No, not quite.
My head hurts, guys.
All right, well, go get yourself some more headache meds while we're on break.
All right.
Remember, if you grind them up in your mortal and pestle, and then just... And it gets there a whole lot quicker.
You take them through your mouth?
What have you been doing? Oh, God.
Newton's law of gravity is defined in his book, Principia Matter.
Hey, Teach, put some T-Pain on it. Everything sounds better with the IMT Pain mic.
What goes up, it must come down.
Matter one button, T-Pain effect.
Everything on the ground. Matter in part.
Record, playback, download, and share. I am T-Pain, and I approve this message. Boom!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And, you know, if the questions were about Transformers for the Transformers toy, then maybe this thing would make sense. But I just don't understand, man. This is impacting my ability to win free things. So I'm just going to go and eat my Cinnamon Toast Crunch angrily. Anyway, we're going to talk about what we got this week. We're going to open up with what Transformers we got this week. Now, I know two of us have Transformers, but I forgot already if... Omegas, did you get any Transformers? I forgot.
Indeed, I did.
Oh, man. All right, so we're all Transformers-ed?
Appears so.
Okay. I want to go first then, because I only have two. Okay. I mentioned last week I got some emergency Transformers, and I opened one of them up, but one of them I haven't opened up, so I'm going to save him for next week. One of my emergency rollback Walmart $10 Transformers was Laserbeak from Dark of the Moon. And I want to just say here and now, I really like this toy when it's $10. If I'd paid $15, I'd probably be okay with it, but if I'd paid $17 to $30, or whatever the insane markups were on this guy when he came out, I wouldn't be a very happy camper. But guess what? Now he is on rollback all over Toronto. There are Laserbeaks shelf-warming Walmarts and Toys R Us's. Laserbeak is everywhere here. So my time came, and I got me a cheapo Laserbeak. And I know I'm very behind the times here, because all of you guys got your Laserbeaks ages ago, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
But I am really digging this little guy, and I really like that, like, the instructions left out a few things that actually make his transformation just the little things like the swivel on the hip joint, like how his hip joint can kind of like fold down a little bit. Just a lot of little things that make him actually oddly satisfying to transform despite both his modes being a little bit funny looking. I love the wings. I am permanently distracted by the weird hawk face Tampa graphs on the side of the cockpit of his vehicle mode. So much so that I actually am, even though I know what it's supposed to be and I've had months to look at it, I actually cannot see a vehicle mode in his vehicle mode. I just see a little bird failing to pretend to not be a little bird. But I don't really care, because this is a fun toy. The way that his neck and tail are jointed is fantastic. If you can get this toy on sale, do it, because it's a unique, weird little transformer, and I think it's worth your time when you are not paying a markup and when you're in fact getting a deal on it. That was my
emergency. I think even when I got him as a straight up retail, he was kind of all right.
Yeah,
since it doesn't transform so much as shift.
Well, the thing is, a lot of it transforms. Like, he transforms a lot, but the end result of his alt mode, I think, is almost entirely damaged by those tampographs on the sides of the cockpit. Like, everything else about it kind of works, but then it's just when you look at it, those tampograph face things just leap out at you, and you're like, oh, look, it's a robot bird? And, like, that's all I can see.
He does have a very nice saving graces to him, though. Mm. I love how much articulation they gave to his tail and neck. It just lets him have so much character when you pose him.
Oh, absolutely, and the way his wings transform is a great process.
Yeah,
and it results in things that do totally not look like a pair of VTOL wings with little spiny bits sticking out. Like, his wings, the parts that come out of the VTOL wings look bigger than the VTOL wings. That's the success, I think. At least that's the crux of the success. So I actually really like Dark of the Moon Laserbeak when I can get him on rollback. My other Transformer I got this week was something that yesterday and Monday and last week, I kept visiting the Dufferin Toys R Us, because that's a lot closer to me than the one where I end up finding more stuff. And they never had Prime Toys. Never had Prime Toys. Just had a giant wall of movie toys, even bigger than the one at Eglinton. And today I just had this weird feeling, and I think it might have been from my sleep deprivation and severe exhaustion, but I was like, I think I should go to Dufferin Toys R Us. And I went to Dufferin Toys R Us, and for a little while I was like, yeah, there's nothing here. But then I realized in the top left, they had cleared out four pegs, and today they had put up Prime Toys. And I could tell because, lo and behold, there were lots of non-Bumblebee toys. There were at least, I want to say, 5 to 7 or 8 RCs and Starscreams. Like 5 to 7 or 8 a piece of Starscream and RC. So it's basically a full peg of RCs, which is amazing to look at right now. A full peg of Starscreams, and then 2 full pegs of Bumblebees. I want to hypothesize they popped open a good 4 cases and just put them all up there on the pegs. So I got me my blue RC, and just like I thought, just like I had recalled from the case at NYCC, the blue RC looks a lot better than the pink and white one. I still like the pink and white one, don't get me wrong, but the blue one looks better in nearly every way, not just the blue being a somewhat calmer color, but the spread of the palette between the blues, the blacks, and the silvers, and then the clear turquoise that's used for the clear plastic. Yeah. It is all just, to me, it's far colder, and I am always in preference of cold color schemes. So Prime RC is pretty good. I would definitely say, like, if you're looking into these first edition Prime toys, especially now that they're showing up in the States in Toys R Us's, if you see these, get RC and Starscream at least. And if you can only get one, then skip a couple meals and get the two of them. Because here's the thing, I think Starscream is a better toy, but RC is going to be a lot harder to find right now. And RC is also a very good toy. It's just RC has a weakness that Starscream doesn't, and otherwise I find they are very much on equal footing. RC's weakness being her shoulder things and the combination of those with her backpack.
Yeah. I definitely think where the pink RC does fall through, like I know I said before, is the pink on that blue just makes it look off.
I think
the blue on the turquoise, a lot easier to make those mesh when they're a lot closer on the color wheel.
Yeah. And, now that I've got all three of these Wave 1 guys, like, I mean, I did just say, you know, Starscream is the top and RC is second by a hair, but don't discount Bumblebee. You know, I think that, like, now that I have two of that Bumblebee toy and I've been messing with one of them even more, now that I've got the normal yellow one that isn't a taxi, I really like that Bumblebee toy. Once I can get his torso to stick together, it just sucks that he's wonkier and he's more fragile. And
any more clip issue?
No, I had a stress mark on the New York one, and I'm gonna pull him over here because I've been transforming the non-New York one a whole bunch, and I don't have any problems there. I think it really helped that people told me they broke theirs, so now I've been paying a huge amount of attention to exactly. I've been paying attention to how much pressure I apply to the clip and in what direction I apply the pressure. Because I think the way it breaks is that it's incredibly easy to basically pull sideways on the clip and start pulling it open. I think that is how it's breaking. It's just like, and not people exerting force or anything. It's just that it is very easy to pull sideways on that clip and, you know, start to literally break it like a wishbone. So, that said, though, I think that the Prime Bumblebee, you know, unless money is a real limitation for you right now, you may as well just pick him up if you're picking up RC and Starscream. Because he's not a bad, I don't think he is a bad toy. I think he's a flawed toy, but he's still really fun. And a Chris GM fan made some good points about him on Twitter, too. Just how surprisingly on model he is. Like, he's got inaccuracies, but they got real close with him in ways that I didn't think they would be able to pull off myself. And mostly in the way that the chest comes together, which is so weird. The chest is like one of the best parts and one of the worst parts of the toy. But that said, RC is great. Everyone should give RC a try, but everyone absolutely should own Starscream. They are two fantastic generations figures that now happen to be called Transformers Prime figures.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys can find some of this Prime stuff. Are you guys? I'm gonna ask you both. Aaron, are you gonna go for all three?
Yeah.
Good man.
I have no reason to not to. Like I said, even though I already have two of the mold, they're the not screen accurate versions. And for Prime, like animated, I think I'm gonna end up being a mainline completionist because, dang, if it's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people getting ready to skip the Bumblebee because we know there's another deluxe Bumblebee already coming, but I like this deluxe Bumblebee that we already have.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the other one's like. I mean, he's the easiest one to skip, but I certainly hope people aren't going to utterly, you know, shove him aside. He's, for a toy that is going to be the shelf warmer for this wave, he's not a bad toy. He's worse than right. The other two, but he's not poor. He's not like deluxe Mudflap, where the toy itself is like a bit of a coin toss as to whether or not it's going to be stable or if it's going to be just a mess.
Yeah.
Omegas, are you going to go for a bunch of Prime toys? If you see them.
I already have Optimus as well as the three deluxes pre-ordered just in case I cannot find them.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I feel the need to start preaching about Bumblebee because, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just the backlash I saw against him that I was kind of starting to jump onto and then went like, hey, wait, I do like this toy. I don't know. Get Starscream. Everyone should own Starscream. That's a categorically well-done toy, in my opinion. So
yeah.
Absolutely get Prime Deluxe Starscream if you see him, if you're a Transformers collector. If you're disappointed, that sucks, but I don't think a lot of people will be disappointed with him. Some maybe, but anyway, I gotta eventually get some red paint out and do to Maya Starscream what P.A.W. did with his, to add some red to him. I'm already missing some of that red. But anyway, those are the Transformers I got this week. Omegas, you just came back from a strange disconnection. What Transformers did you get this week? Did one of them cut the cable line on your internet?
Apparently.
Oh, well, damn it.
Obviously, one of them was jealous.
Damn it.
Trying to see which one it is. After countless trips to my local Walmarts and finding absolutely nothing new, I decided, screw it. I'll just put in a nice, healthy HTS order.
Mm-hmm.
And in similar vein, the first step on the order was the New York Comic Con RC and Bumblebee pack.
Yeah, it's, even with the real versions hitting shelves, I think that New York pack is still worth considering, just at least as a conversation piece.
Yeah, it's not bad by any stretch.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're both novelty repaints.
Yeah.
It's rare when they have the chance to do that, so, at the very least, there is that to it.
You know what? They're well-done novelty repaints, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think they both, now owning the real ones, I think that those New York color schemes are very well done for things that are so limited.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This is what I've been after. Like, I get the feeling having these two that I'm going to go so hardcore on Prime just because I'm so done with the movie stuff. I want the different vibe. I want a new flavor.
I feel so bad for the Dark of the Moon toy line because, you know what? I was even thinking of making a video about this. Like, I like Dark of the Moon toys, but they came out at the worst time for me to actually care a whole lot about them.
Right.
Because it's like they came out, and every Dark of the Moon toy I've owned has been, almost all of them have been fun in some way. So, and many of them I thought weren't going to be fun, and I was very pleasantly surprised by so much of the line. But it came out while I was caring about Prime toys. It came out while I was going to conventions and not having time to mess with them, and then by the time I was able to sit down and was like, maybe I should really take a look at my Dark of the Moon toys. It's like, Prime Toys are out. It's like, oh, sorry, Dark of the Moon.
But just in my, like, just a quick little initial reaction, RC, good lord, I did not expect her to have that much articulation.
Yeah.
Oh, she is nice. Like, I could easily see how the blue and the black color scheme is going to make her look so much better. But I don't know. I'm a sucker anytime they actually make an RC in pink, if only because Hasbro rarely has the guts to do that in any circumstance.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you know, it's just that she looks better in black and blue.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that she looks bad in pink. She just looks aces in black and blue.
Yeah, luckily, the love of the character will draw me into as many repaints as they ever release of that toy.
Hey-o. Excellent.
Mm. And, you know, same vibe from Bumblebee. Obviously, he's not nearly as different as RC is, but I do love the idea of this muscle car New York City taxi cab.
After driving with John, I feel very much the same. It's like, I would actually not be surprised if a cab driver just painted up a muscle car one day and started his own cab service in that kind of traffic.
I know, if I had the option between just a town car and a muscle car, you know what? Muscle car might be fun for a trip.
Yeah. But it works. It amuses me anyway. And, you know, enough that I'm not going to have much regret getting the normal Bumblebee when it comes out.
Yeah. Well,
technically it is out, but, you know.
And you know what? Here. You know what? You're not going to have trouble finding the normal Bumblebee when it comes out. You will have no... I am going to actually say right now, you will have no trouble finding normal Bumblebee when he comes out.
Yeah. No doubt.
You know what? On rollback, Nitro Bumblebee is on rollback for $10. That's like a mold I don't own, and I want to own it. But every time I look at it, I'm like, if this wasn't yellow, I would buy it.
I still don't know why they haven't done Cliff Jumper or...
Yeah, give me Cliff Jumper, give me somebody Stealth, else. Something.
Yeah, give me... I'll take another Stealth Bumblebee. I like Stealth Bumblebee.
I'll take Cliff.
Yeah. I'll take, like, even if you just do him up in a duller yellow, give him a different head and call him Bumper, I'll take it. Because I heard Nitro Bumblebee is a decent mold, but I'm just like, I'm just sitting there going like, man, you know what? I just can't abide any more yellow Bumblebees.
Well, it's just the rough fact that Nitro came out at the same time that there were so many, that there was like the canon Bumblebee and just Bumblebee sitting on the shelves. It's like, why another one? Yeah. Why?
And I only say this because, you know what? New York Comic Con Bumblebee is a really good yellow Bumblebee. I got to ask you, how are your chest clips?
Unbroken. Luckily, I was warned in time, so I am carefully using them.
Excellent.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you,
yes,
Aaron.
It was your tweet that put the fear of God in me.
It was you on the podcast saying, I broke mine, that put the fear in me.
If my woes have helped anybody out, you're welcome. And that's what I'm here for. Just remember that when the collection plate goes around.
Man, I wish we had a collection plate.
Yes. Continuing my HDS box, mm-hmm. which thankfully was not one of those gargantuan boxes with, you know, a mile of paper snakes in it. On to good Bumblebee recolors. I finally got the Cyberfire Bumblebee.
Ah, good man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so far behind. Like, good God. I want to know what designer got it into their head to make him look satanic.
It's someone who listens to the podcast, I hope.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love that color scheme, even though technically it's just a new Stealth Bumblebee.
Yeah, well, it's a new Stealth Bumblebee, but that's all it really needs. Like, yeah. I can still look at it. It still looks like Bumblebee, but it's not overwhelmingly yellow to the point where it just grates on me.
Yeah, it's not like, yo, it's Bumblebee, and he put on a different hat.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm curious, how is the light piping on yours?
Oh, it is creepy and brilliant.
It's screamingly red.
There's this really weird thing that it does, just because the way the eyes are molded, I think, where if I have him, like, sitting on my desk, then all I see are the pupils in the center.
Yep.
That's burning red. Just really ups the creepiness on him.
Does it speak to you at night? Whisper dark thoughts.
Aaron, does yours speak in Siri's voice?
No.
Should.
No, you've been linked the GLaDOS Siri, right?
Have I?
Where it's Siri, but as GLaDOS?
Oh, I think someone linked me that, but I didn't have time to look at it because I was at class or something.
Well, you should take the time to look at it.
Well, maybe I will.
All right, then.
Good! Anyway, Cyberfire Bumblebee.
Anyway, yeah. yeah, okay, yeah. Creepy eyes aside, creepy deco aside, this guy is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd think I'd be sick of bumblebees by now. You know, the last podcast, I just came on with another bumblebee toy. You know, this is third bumblebee in two podcasts, and yet, no, I am not sick of them yet.
Well, you know what one thing Dark of the Moon did really well was take a whole bunch of characters who I thought I'd be sick of buying toys of and make really decent toys of a lot of them that I actually kind of enjoy. Which is why I'm so bummed that I just can't buy that Nitro Bumblebee, because I'm like, I'm sure I'm going to like him. But
yeah, because I've gone two Bumblebees in a row, and it's like, okay, the Scan Series Bumblebee's the preview. Yeah, I like that better. I like that one, okay. This one is fantastic. The articulation is great. Transformation isn't annoying.
Yeah, the Dark of the Moon toys, a lot of the deluxes hit just a beautiful balance on how intricate the transformations are on the user end.
I think they've gotten a lot of the kinks out from the original now that we've gone from the two extremes of we have to rush this out, just make it work however it has to work, to we've had a lot of development time, we can make them look screen accurate. And now we've gotten this little nice middle point where we can play around with it and we can make this more efficient.
Yeah, yeah, efficient. Exactly. That's a good word for it. I don't know. Every now and then for the last week, every now and then I've just been thinking, like, man, I feel like I've been an unwarranted jerk to the Dark of the Moon toy line. especially when I was just pulling open Laserbeak, and I was like, you know what? Laserbeak is a fun-ass little toy. And I'm just like, man, this whole Dark of the Moon line, it's done. Almost. You know, it's almost done for me. And I'm like, man, I've been a jerk to it. I gotta take it out back and just go, like, listen, let me buy you a milkshake, and you tell me your problems, all right?
Anyway, another repaint of a mold that I ended up putting off. I picked up Specialist Ratchet.
Oh, the red one.
The red one.
I should have waited for that one.
Yeah, which I love the... Well, it doesn't have the cool buzzsaw weapon, though.
That's true, but that's a good ratchet.
I know. I'm thrilled that they... I know they've already announced they're going to do it in the G1 colors, but I'm thrilled they didn't go for that immediately, like every other ratchet mold.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that they went with this paint job because it's one that only collectors would get the homage to it.
Yeah, it's the original movie red vehicle that was cut because red wouldn't work at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Sentinel Prime happened.
You know, it's like it's restoring Ratchet to what he was originally designed to be for the movie.
Yeah, and that toy, that was specifically a Dark of the Moon toy. I remember I wasn't going to buy until people told me I should. And I like the engineering on that toy.
Yeah. It finds this nice little middle point where it has some of the efficiency of the original Voyager, but it does have the accuracy of the original of the first deluxe mold.
Yeah.
Like I pulled that one down off the shelves to compare them, and this thing just I could use some better shoulder articulation, but other than that, it's a lot cleaner, it's easier to transform, and you know, you've really got you've got a more efficient toy going on here.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what, that's why whenever I'm sitting around and I'm just not really talking much or saying many nice things about Dark of the Moon, I can't abide it when someone goes like, man, Dark of the Moon was such a crap toy line. I'm like, no, you know what? No, it wasn't. It's actually a pretty good toy line. It just went to the
thirds.
Yeah, it was a very cool toy line that was also really easy to glaze over and in some cases entirely forget or be entirely uninterested in. And I can't blame people who were, because I almost was. And it kind of sucks, because I think a lot of the goodness in Dark of the Moon feels like it's going to trickle over into future toy lines. There's a lot of great concepts in there for that efficiency. And also stances. Look at a lot of your Dark of the Moon deluxes. They stand in a really cool natural stance where their legs are slightly akimbo, and that's by design. With Dark of the Moon on the way out, I just feel like I gotta record that video. It's like the eulogy for Dark of the Moon's toy line or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There's videos I keep meaning to do that are Dark of the Moon relevant. I want to do one video that reviews all three Voyager Primes and all three Voyager Megatrons, just kind of the evolution of the movie toy line. I gotta get around to that.
That's the thing. You know what? It's the sad part of the movie line is that there's lots to talk, to say about it. That at least in my case, it's the sad part for me. There's lots to say about the movie line that I just haven't said because there's so many more interesting things going on, and it's really unfortunate to say that. Because for all the stuff I'm saying about movie toys, you know what? Prime Starscream and Prime RC interest me more than any of them. Not just because they're not movie guys, but because they do so much more cool stuff in the engineering.
We continue the Dark of the Moon bandwagon?
Let's do it.
I got Tailpipe and Pinpointer.
Tailpipe and... Oh! That's the Minicon guy, right?
Like, yeah.
The Minicon Human Alliance. That's a good
right.
one.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yet again, one more that I keep putting off, but he is nice. He is nice. I definitely dig him. Digging the little Minicon, I love how just kind of brutish and gruff he is in design.
Yeah.
And good lord, how many guns can a Minicon have?
It's got guns for everything.
Mm-hmm. Definitely kind of digging this mesh of, you know, we got the Target Master, the Human Alliance, the Minicon all working together here. It's just this nice little blend on those. I like his robot mode too.
Yeah, I think I still gotta get a hold of Reverb, but I think that is actually my favorite of that little line that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like of that Human Alliance Basics line. That guy, I think he came out on top.
That just reminds me. I saw a Reverb. I should probably go back for now that I don't have a convention coming up to save money for.
I've been hearing good stuff about Reverb's robot mode. A lot of people think he has one of the best robot modes of that line. So I gotta see.
Okay. That's another one. This guy, though, like, I feel bad because I keep completely forgetting about the human partners on these toys.
That's not a reason to feel bad.
Yeah, it's pretty... The only human partner that maintained my interest was Master Disaster, and he came with a really disappointing toy.
This one is just makes it so laughable because the motorcycle is so freaking huge compared to them.
And the Minicon can ride the motorcycle, so the poor little human driver is superfluous.
Yeah. Don't need him.
Yeah.
See, but since this guy can't... Yeah, and the Minicon looks better.
Mm-hmm.
Riding the bike. It's more his size. Which, God, that just makes me want a sideways repaint now.
Yeah, he feels a lot like what I would love to see in a new Sideways. And I think that of all the Armada characters, Sideways deserves a redux more than anyone else.
Oh, well, I'd put Starscream ahead of that, but...
I only say so because Sideways was such a cool concept that I really want him to get another chance before anyone else. Like, because my top three off the top of my head would be him, Starscream, and Tidal Wave. I would love to see all get another go. I'd love to see a Tidal Wave where all the engineering for his Minicon gimmicks just went into the innards of the toy, and just see what comes out when you do that. But yeah, Pinpointer.
Yeah, of course. I just, you know, like, the only problem I'd have with them is I cannot get behind the weapon mode.
No.
I put it, I've got the Voyager Prime, I put it in his hand, all I can think is he's mowing the yard.
Yeah, or he's waving a motorcycle around.
Well, that's the rough thing with all of those guys. It's just not there for their weapon mode.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them have a really good weapon mode, but whenever they do, one of their other two modes really eats it.
Yeah,
That's usually how it goes on any triple changer, especially ones at this price point.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just glad there is some attention to weapon modes. Like, they actually do something specifically because they can turn into a weapons.
Yeah.
Because before this, I can remember we get into lines like Beast Wars Neo, where everyone has a weapon mode, and it's just the designers just kind of goof with it until it kind of, sort of looked like a weapon.
It's like everyone has a weapon mode, but you would never know it unless you had the instructions.
Right. So that is that. I ended up making the HTS order because I was sick of my Walmart not getting anything.
And I can hear you.
Then the day before I leave for my convention trip last weekend, I happened to go to Walmart for last-minute supplies, and oh my god, they got in new stuff.
Was it just the stuff you ordered, or was there anything else?
No, thank god it wasn't. I hate when that happens. But as long as I'm there, I found Guzzle.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah, Cyberverse is way behind here. First time spotting him.
That's not a bad thing. I mean, Guzzle is, for some reason, Guzzle is oddly hard to find for some people, and to find for other people.
It's a later wave and something that's not moving terribly fast. So, If it's a place where they were smart about ordering, or there's a little bit more demand, then it's getting through everything. But if it's a place that's been a bit slower, it's not a priority. The cheap toys don't have the same margins.
How are you finding him, though?
He's kind of my experience with the larger Cyberverse toys, where I need just one point of articulation more. I need a head rotation. I need a waist rotation for this to really feel like I got my money's worth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to what I originally thought this line was going to be, which were, you know, smaller scouts, and they end up being bigger legends. You know, I just hoped that they just evolve just a little bit more, and not quite. I still really like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'd put him up there with Hatchet in, you know, my better Cyberverse findings. And this actually goes back to the Takara Tomy designer interview, where they're talking about where they position the holes in the plastic.
And
the holes are specifically to lower the plastic cost, you know, which I usually find as a sign of cheaper toys than we used to get. And I complained about Reveal the Shield Jazz doing that.
Hmm.
But What he said in the interview does ring very true here on Guzzle. Like, I can see all these holes all the way down, shoulder to wrist, but the way it's worked in, it actually creates this intricate machine pattern, where it does look a little bit more interesting than it would normally.
Yeah, and I think that self-awareness is really cool. Like, That's a perfect example also of why I think those interviews need to keep happening. Because, like, I never thought about the empty holes in my Cyberverse toys ever until that interview. And I was like, wait, oh my god! There are holes! Like, I don't know.
So, he is neat. Bonus points for being a classic tank instead of an H-tank.
Mm-hmm.
I like the H-Tanks, too. And while I was there, since it was one of those times where, God, why do I have to, why am I obligated to save money right now? Because they had Cyberverse Legion class. They're still legends to me, damn it. they had them down for like $2.
Oh. I would lose my nuts if I saw $2 Legions. I'd just buy them all. I'd be like, guess what? It's time to go completist on this line. $20.
Except I had a convention to go for, and it's a good thing I didn't spend anything because I ended up burning through all my money.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But yeah.
But they had one, and I had to get it because your voice, Mr. Internet Personality, kept ringing through my head while I saw him on the shelves. I pick up Flack.
Flack.
Flack. I figure if I got Guzzle, Flack's an obvious choice.
How are you liking Flack?
They just go together. Ah, I love what Legends have become.
I like Flack a lot.
Yeah, this is good. It's got just enough articulation for a Legend. Like even at the $5, I think I'd be happy with this guy. I like the efficient transformation. I like the over the shoulder gun.
Yes.
I like shoulder mounted guns. He just makes such a nice little partner to Guzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really glad I picked up Flack first, I think, because I think if I had picked him up with Guzzle, even though they are kind of meant for each other, I would have probably forgotten about Flack. and I'm glad I actually had time to really just... I got Flack with Roadbuster, and Roadbuster was so like, wow, Roadbuster certainly is a transformer, and it really just made Flack like the highlight of that day for me. So I like me some Cyberverse Flack. I don't recall if you got any Transformers at your show you went to.
Unfortunately, no. The few they did have here were the same exact overpriced ones I found at MetroCon in the summer.
Did you just say hi to the dude selling them?
Pretty much. I'm getting to know the people at the booths.
Are they getting to know you and getting to know you as the guy who doesn't buy stuff from us?
Well, it didn't really help that my friend Oscar was there and I was telling, dude, that's way overpriced. Don't buy that. Just seriously. No, don't get the Prime pack. They're going to release the Deluxe Prime with a trailer. Just wave off for now.
Do you mean the Prime, like the Chronicles Prime?
Yeah.
Okay, what was his motivation for wanting to get that? Because I still don't understand what is making people buy that up, because that thing is selling out.
I don't know, because it's a G1 Prime with no trailer and a movie Deluxe Prime with a trailer. And
like, does he not have a G1 Prime? Was that the draw?
I don't know what it was.
If I saw someone and they were like, I think I'm going to get that Chronicles Prime, I'd just be like, why do you want to get that? I really want to know. Like, yeah, I really want to know why you want to get that.
He seemed more interested in the movie Prime, though. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, I could feel the booth owner's eyes, you know, in the back of my head, just burning holes in my hair.
Don't buy anything from this joker. His prices are... yeah, this guy looking at me right here. This joker. No, don't buy anything from him.
Seriously, nobody buy that masterpiece, Rodimus. He had it in the summer. That's the first release. It sucks.
He just comes up, just punches you in the face. Completely silent.
So that's it.
All right.
So we get to off topic.
Aaron, you got some Transformer. You got a Transformer I almost bought and then didn't.
Yeah. First one that I had picked up as my I need to have something was a Lunar Fire or whatever the heck Prime from Walmart.
Yeah,
where it's the gold repaint with the Voyager Prime's gun.
I almost bought that too,
Lunar Fire,
and it was worth it for the Prime's gun because it's one of the mech techs that locks in place after it jumps out of your hands.
If that thing ever goes on rollback, I'm going to pick it up. But
it's the same deluxe, and it's a good deluxe. I know I've talked about it It's a good transformation. The gold is a bit, oh my gosh, bling in his truck mode. Mm-hmm. It even makes it down to his the oil tank, fuel tanks on the sides of his legs. But good, still a good mold. Cool head reveal.
Love the head reveal.
With the pop on the back of it when you put his backpack into place. Also picked up on the deluxe front a Drodimus saw when Hasbro Toy Shop had Air Raid and Darksteel go up.
Ooh. So oh, so you got them off them there. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, you got them in stores. That's what I've been trying to do.
No, that was that was why I was surprised that they're both molds I didn't have because I hadn't gotten the convertible Sideswipe. And as a convertible, I'm not quite sure I really like the alt mode because there's nothing to keep you from seeing all the way through him.
Yeah, that's between that and I was going to ask you on Darksteel, are you having any problems getting his panels to stay together, or is he?
It does not hold together for anything.
Okay.
His driver's side door sword does not want to clip in, so he ends up wonky on one side, where it's just probably because of the way that everything holds together, I might have just a little bit of flash in just the wrong spot that keeps it from going together. But I've looked at it 4 or 5 times trying to figure out what's going on, and it's just a matter of just don't fit.
Yeah, that's the thing with my my Sideswipe, which bums me out because, I mean, his vehicle mode is definitely, like, it's weird and floorless.
Yeah.
But the actual transformation scheme I really like, and I was like, I was like, I want to like this toy, but I actually legitimately find his vehicle mode frustrating, and I'm like,
one thing that I do like, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but when he has his swords out, you can have his hands tucked in.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way that the hands transform, the sword bit is on a pivot around the wheel, so you can have the sword rolled back and not out, air quotes, and have his hands out because it's just on a, I think it's just on a pin. Yeah.
Mm.
Or you can fold his hands back and get them completely out of the way and have him have his swords out. So that's how he stands with the fake door car sides up at an odd angle. To have him look much differently than Sideswipe does.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Air Raid, except for his little tiny spindly legs. Which I understand why they're little tiny spindly legs, but they just seem very off-putting when he has kind of a broad, thick chest, and then he has these little stick legs. That are, I mean, they're very well articulated, but it's a small ball joint on the hip, so certain motions, and it just pops right off.
I'm kind of on the fence with him, because I got to mess with Stans at New York Comic Con, and I was like, it's a cool enough toy. It just also feels like one that I'm not going to miss if I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
He doesn't do anything special is the problem, yeah. I think.
He has probably one of the cleanest-looking mech tech weapons.
Yeah.
But it's a deluxe mech tech weapon, which means it doesn't lock into place.
Yes. It's like, yo, I'm going to pop my shield into a gun every time I shoot it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like just an AWACS dish, which that's the radar dish that's on top of radar planes. And it flips out really neat with a 3-part fold out, but then there's no way, even with trying to take rubber bands and do something with that, the little clear rubber bands that come with all of the Transformer toys now, I have not found a good spot to put them where I wouldn't need about 8 of them to keep it deployed. So, I mean, there are some deluxe mech tech weapons that I faked that way, but this guy just doesn't happen. So it's like, hey, I'm holding a shield on edge. Pew, pew. Yes. Oh, I'm holding a shield on edge. It's not it. It'd be one thing if he had a port on the side of his arm or the back of his arm, so that it might be a sword or a shield, or I could point an edge on and make it a little bit better. But it was gotten because I like molds and I like you people that are listening, so I can give an opinion out there. But
yeah, if
you have other things in your pipeline, he's definitely, at least in my mind, a something to look for, but not be needing.
Don't pine for it. Just react if you see it. Yeah.
Between
him, Darksteel, and Deluxe Leadfoot, and then I guess Wheeljack, those are the last major Dark of the Moon toys I'm looking for.
Yeah, well, because Soundwave is going to be...
Oh, Soundwave, I forgot about him.
I thought he was slipping into... Or a repaint maybe was slipping into the...
Repaint is in movie trilogy.
The movie trilogy or whatever line, so...
Right.
I don't know. I have the feeling that a lot of them are going to slip into the upcoming line just because this assortment I think was originally supposed to be out 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And nobody's buying it, so nobody's buying it, I guess. Okay, it defeats itself that way. Also picked up at the comic shop the Transformers Timelines comic book.
Oh, the new one?
It was the Decepticon job, yeah, that you get mentioned in.
Again.
At least you got called podcaster this time, so.
Oh, you know, podcasting's kind of like the evolution of a radio personality. It's
It's
a thing you can do, you know, using your radio experience.
But the AllSpark Almanac Addendum really only seems like it covers the Decepticon job.
Well, it has that bit near the end where it kind of goes like, hey, guess what? There's going to be more addendums in your club comic magazine.
Yeah, which to me feels like it sullies the addendum. Because it sullies the almanac, not the addendum. Because I know that the animated stuff is done with the guys that did it originally, but what made the AllSpark Almanac 2 especially extra special, especially, is that it had the upcoming things that were at the time what the plan was. The toy, the Marauder Megatron, the hot shot that we didn't get, the things that are really the behind the scenes, not this after the fact behind the scenes.
Well, I'd be there with you, except that what I saw what I've read of what was hinted at is it seems more like, what are some other just, like, crazy side character ideas? Rather than, like, it's not like, okay, guess what? We're going to write a new season 4 in here that will nullify our original plans. It's more like, guess what? This is another guy who was in the background of the background.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like at a certain point it goes from being, like, background canon to fanon, almost. I mean, granted, they're the official guys, so it's like...
Fanon?
Yeah, it's like secondary or tertiary fanon, or canon. Because, I mean, it has... I'll just go through it from... Okay, in comics, law, it's all the bios for the guys that were in the comics, in the AllSpark Almanac, where it's other characters talking about them. And then it's for... little bits for the prose about moving violations, which introduced Cheetor, and then the in universe thing for the Stunicon job, and then like background about BotCon that we've already kind of seen other places. Which I guess looking at it, I'm looking at this as somebody that went to BotCon and dealt with all of that. I think that maybe as somebody that couldn't make it to BotCon, this would be a better value because you're getting the BotCon comic that I can say is all right as being part of the animated universe, but it just as somebody that had it other ways, it doesn't feel like it's worth the $8 cover price.
Ouch.
Yeah. And actually Slipstream does have a bio.
I know.
A tech spec bio in there, and it Starscream's ripped up cardboard side.
Yep, I like the gag on that. I'm cool with them doing some more of those bios, because I mean I like the idea of have the club magazine having like tech spec bios in it, or not tech spec bios, but you know, like classic handbook bios.
Yeah,
and they did, because all those bios tend to just be like, yo, here's more guys from the comic, and here's another Shattered Glass guy, and I think that, like, I mean, this is almost stemming off what we said 2 weeks ago, but I think them. If they're going to be like changing that section to an animated section for the next year, I am all up for that, because that will be a change from the last couple years, and that's what I think that's I mean, if that's all they're going to do for the next, like, 5 years, then I might go, like, all right, we've had 5 years of animated bios.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit much. But, like, at the same time, if they can keep switching it up now and then, and I don't mean, like, don't ever do Shattered Glass bios again, but just switch it up, keep it fresh. That's what that section would need. That's what a lot of things need, is just keep switching them up, keep them fresh, keep doing crazy things, because that's what you can do when you're in that position. And, I'm all good for it.
But also have one, I'll call it half topic.
Oh,
the basic size Transformers Star Wars crossover Y-Wing.
Is that a new one?
Yes. It's a new second one? Wave.
Oh, yeah. Man, there's a second wave?
Yeah.
Because
it was him, and then another, it was an Anakin repaint.
Oh, good.
And then there was another one.
Yoda?
I forget what the other one was, no.
Oh.
But I saw the Y-Wing, and for some reason, I like the aesthetics of the Clone Wars era Y-Wing. Because in the original movie trilogy, the Y-Wings are these stripped out kind of flying rust bucket bomber things, but in the Clone Wars, when this was a crazy new high-tech thing, it has so much more armor and looks completely different, and looks, it's interesting. Because I played a lot of the old Star Wars TIE Fighter or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter type games, and to have a different looking Y-Wing, but it's still a Y-Wing, but it's not a Y-Wing, just was enough of a neat psychological twinge to throw down $7 wasn't a hard decision.
And how did it turn out? How is it as a figure?
Pretty good. The biggest issues that I have is, so like he has fixed rear landing gear that ends up on the front of his shoulders, and it completely destroys any sort of arm articulation that he has.
Oh, damn it,
Star Wars. He'd have the potential to have a 90-degree bend, but because things are just angled wrong, so that he has a perfect-looking alt mode, he only has maybe 30 degrees of bend in his elbow.
That sucks.
And then in his knees will give a 90-degree bend in the wrong direction, and then like a 45-degree bend in the right direction. So it's some concessions to form over function.
But yeah.
Also, it's a crossover toy for like $7 or $8, so... And in Transformers terms, that'd be like a $5 to $6 toy.
Mm-hmm.
With the way that it seems like the transition between crossovers and non-crossovers toys go. But if you're a fan of the Star Wars Transformers, I would say it's not a bad purchase.
I'm gonna probably hem and haw on it a bit because I like those little tiny scale Star Wars Transformers.
Yeah.
They're fun.
That was my first swing at one for myself, and it's. Wasn't a bad swing. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be like all crazy and completionist, but if there's one that calls to me, I won't be afraid to pick it up.
Yeah. They do a tiny Yoda. I will freak out.
Yeah, I know you will. But that is it for my on-topic-y stuff.
All right. Roll us into your off-topic. I'm going to play games with our order here.
All right, then. Picked up another 2 terabyte hard drive. The media project that was discussed earlier. We've gone through 2.5 bins of DVDs and some Blu-rays were mixed in there. Blu-rays eat up disk space a whole lot faster than we were figuring, even though we knew what a Blu-ray's capacity was. So we're up to like 8.5 terabytes or so on the network now. We're building our own little Netflix.
Aww.
So fun. As far as toys and whatnot goes, was quite a bit of figure arts. And I canceled my Big Bad Toy Store order for Gokai Red and Gokai Blue.
Oh.
Gokai Red off of eBay so that I could get the steering wheel that he comes with. And as a figure arts, I think the Gokaiger bodies are a little bit better because they have the vest that can cover the weird arm bits.
Yeah, having all the soft goods, not soft goods, sorry, the soft plastic parts, I think kind of helps out those Gokaiger designs.
Yeah, because just the span,
Figure arts doesn't work when it's just spandex.
Yeah.
Or when it's just body. The way that the double ball jointed shoulders work just comes off weird. I currently have him posed in like the getting ready for final wave. So he has his pistol in one hand and the sword up on his shoulder, looking kind of cocky.
That's a way to do it.
I was thinking about using, he comes with an attachment that another one of his signature poses is arms crossed, kind of looking down. Well, you can get close with that with the normal articulation of it, but he comes with a piece where you can rip both of his arms off and plug this piece in, and it's one solid piece. So it's a really good, like, actually lapped arms. It might be back and forth between those two until my Gokai Blue from HLJ shows up. Where they had them still in stock with the steering wheel as well. So I think I said it quite a bit when I did it on Twitter. I kind of feel bad that I was canceling my orders from Big Bad because I'm excited that more U.S. retailers are carrying these. However, at the same time, you know, the pre-orders got pushed back 2 to 3 months on everything.
And Gokaiger is not Bluefin, so you're not affecting the Bluefin operation at all.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's completely outside of Bluefin. So.
Yep.
So I was saving money and getting them faster and getting them faster. So Gokai Blue, who is the next one that comes with like the five sword technique, swords and fun, is somewhere between Japan and here on a slow boat. So I'm looking forward to that and getting another crowd scene going. Also picked up the Birth Claws armor set, which is the add-on for the Kamen Rider Birth, where it comes with basically pieces to go on every bit of him. And it's, I have him done up as the Scorpion mode that all of his add-on parts can turn into, because it gets really hard to pose a figure arts when you add all of this crap on top of it. He can basically stand there and look like he's about ready to topple over.
And it doesn't all plug in, like, just because the OCC version of that, this is basically all these armor parts that plug onto Kamen Rider Birth. The kitty version of him, it all just uses pegs and ports, and you just kind of stick it together, like, clunk, all right,
yeah.
Parts are on. You were explaining to me that one is like, all right, swap the ankle pieces, which is shin cover, swap the chest piece.
So to put all of the armor on him, you have to take off his hands, you have to take off his feet, which the feet are always the one that make me cringe because they're die-cast parts and they're not designed to pop in and out quite the same as the hands are. Then you have to take off one of his shoulder pads. You have to take off his right shoulder pad. You have to take off the chest plate and the back plate, which that involves I had to get a hobby knife in on a seam and kind of wiggle it, and the part that I thought would pop off didn't because it does such a good job of hiding the seam between the two pieces. And so I was wiggling thinking that a larger piece was going to come off and then a smaller piece did. And so then you have the stripped down, beat up, naked looking dude. Then you have new chest and back pieces that have pegs on them that click back on. And then for the
I don't know how I feel about this thing.
Yeah. If I can find the picture, I will tweet it to you again.
Yeah.
But it all just comes apart to go back together again, and it's one of those things that's slightly scary. That as you're doing it, you're like, oh god, I hope I don't bust something, because you know how are you? It's going to be hard to say, well, your thing broke my toy if something goes terribly wrong. So. It was just something that was very, very nervous, very careful with it. And, tweet sending your guys way now. And, so then he has pieces that clip onto the wrist and the calf that have little tabs on the edges that end up, connecting into the arm or leg pieces. And like I said, once it's all done, you still have the vast majority of the articulation, but since you've added so much onto it, you lose the ability for fine balance that you have with the figure arts in the first place. So like the crane arm piece is this big piece that goes up and over top of the shoulder. So you do end up losing some of the shoulder articulation, and, you know, then basically all he can do is hold his arm forward. With the caterpillar leg, you have a little bit of foot rock left and right, but you don't have any of the forward back. So basically all you can really go for is a more splayed leg. So it's a really neat over-the-top combination thing. If you were really big into O's and like it, it's a good add-on to the figure arts. But if you want to have your armored up dude be superposable, it's just not going to happen. So it's kind of like a psychological disconnect of you get used to being able to put your figure arts into most poses, and then once you've done this, it's like, he can stand there and look like he's about ready to blow something up.
It sounds like something that could have been done better. Because I always assume that, like, to me, the way to do this on a figure art would be, because the main connection points by design and on the OCC are all those little gashapon balls on his suit.
Yeah.
So to me, the idea would be make those removable with a peg hole behind them or a peg in them, you know, and then make those the connection points, the primary connection points. I don't know.
I think part of the issue is on the arms, those points are so high up.
Yeah, I look at this, you know, this semi-desiccated little berth, and I'm like, man, like, it just feels like this was, it feels like this could have been done better, and it also feels a little bit rushed.
Yeah, I think it's probably something that was a little bit of after the fact, because they wanted to keep the release, the berth, the figure arts berth himself as screen accurate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, we got to put chest stuff on. Well, that plate can come off. And then, like, all the little clip-on pieces that I should have taken pictures of as well that go, like, on the wrist and the legs or the way that we accommodate that so that he doesn't have these odd chunks on him that's not on the actual dude. But, like I was saying before the show, one of the things that is neat about... So when you go to turn him into the scorpion mode, what would be his right arm, so that an arm can be in there, it's kind of empty and has a small ball joint that goes where the elbow is. It comes with a larger piece of plastic that has a hinge in it that plugs into it that then makes it a strong, like, kind of oomphy joint, so that it's, you got to put a little bit of force behind it to move it, which makes it a lot better, because my first time through, I missed the Japanese note of what it was trying to tell me what it was doing. I'm like, wow, this tail is really friggin' floppy, especially if you got to put a drill on the end of it. Okay, oh, wait a second. There's a little picture. What's that extra piece? Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Mm.
But where they've painted it silver, it looks really great. Where they've left the gray plastic, it's the gray swirl plastic.
Looks not very good
to
me. So
it looks not very good, yeah.
No, and again, I was so not sure how it was going to turn out, and it looks like it turned out the way that I was kind of hoping it wouldn't, which is not clear. It doesn't look to me like it's clearly superior to the OCC.
No.
Which I was kind of hoping it would be.
Yeah, the shovel arm falls off quite easily. The places where it's the most obvious is on the cannon, especially since there's a whole lot of detail and zero paint. The cannon barrel has paint, but none of the things that turns into, like, the scorpion's eyes, the little details there and all that other stuff is unpainted plastic. I think that they could have gotten a whole point on a 10-point scale if that had some paint on it. Because everything else has got its color-coded paint on it. And I guess it still does. It still has red around the barrel, and it has silver paint on the barrel.
It just sounds so unpolished.
Yeah. It's like it's 80%.
Yeah.
And it's good for what it does. If I was the type of person that was halfway decent with a paintbrush, I might be tempted to go over it some, maybe give those jewel things a coat of red to keep with, since each piece is color coordinated. You know, there's red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, or purple. So it's the color spectrum between all the pieces. You know, put some red details on that, put some silver on it to hide the little bit of swirl that goes across it, and call it a good day. But I suck at painting, so.
Nonetheless, though, at least like, it sounds like you're not disliking it. It sounds more like something that would it sounds actually more like it would disappoint me more than it would someone who hadn't already messed with the OCC. And on the bright side of this one, you also get the big milk jug of metals.
Yes, that's the other thing that I actually forgot about because I didn't bring him up, because he's posed with Birth down on the display. He comes with a milk jug, so I have Birth currently reloading out of that. He has the clip off of his gun, off of the Birth Buster, and is like it's like he's scooping up more metals.
That's kind of cool.
And he also comes with the Gorilla Candroid in both can and gorilla forms, but those are the don't breathe around it size.
Yeah, they're hell of tiny.
They're really cool that I have them. If I had like a Detolf case where I had something that was enclosed, I'd probably feel a little bit better with those out on display, but since I don't want to like accidentally touch a display case, have something disappear, and then have a little tiny piece vacuumed up.
Like the little key on Figuarts Gokai Red.
Oh, yeah. Those little, the keys and the Gokai cylinders and all that stuff scared me the first time I popped it open.
I dropped one out of the box.
Oh, man.
That took a while.
Yeah. The first time I opened up the plastic clamshell, one of the corners caught a little bit more, so it popped. And that's always a thing that I hate, because when that pop happens,
it's everywhere.
Well, it was all still enclosed. It wasn't like I hit it with it open, but it like flips all the hands around, and you can never get the things closed, those clamshells closed, if all the hands are flipped around. And then I was like, oh no, tiny little red piece, don't exhale, kind of nudge it with the tip of your fingernail back into the hole that it goes in. And so it was, if I was way serious about it, I'd probably get like a piece of tape to cover that, but then I'd be afraid of that tape just eating the I don't know.
You'll pull the tape off, and then the little thing will friction onto it just long enough to go flying out of the tray. Yeah. And
just catch enough momentum to fly across the room and never be found again.
It'll fly straight up into your nose. You'll breathe in out of reaction, and it'll just be in your lungs. Yeah.
And it'll be a part of me forever. I can be the Red Ranger!
Yes!
Oh my gosh!
So, aside from that stuff, how else did you go off topic this
also
week?
Also, in my CS Toys order, that was the Birth Claws, was a Furaimaru candy toy.
Oh!
So the one that you bought, not in a case, so...
Yeah, and then the next new one is out.
Is it out already?
Yeah, and I haven't ordered any version of it yet, because I just can't afford to right now, but...
Yeah, well...
I'll tell you about it after we're done recording, but there's an interesting thing about the case assortment on that, I think.
Okay. But, again, it's a candy toy, little green dude, I think that I'm going to go with the stand that I've seen of everybody else's. I think it's my favorite one of the add-on guys so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it still pushes with the Gowlion, so yeah. It does come with the biggest piece of plastic that's come out of a candy toy yet, I believe, and his Shuriken Star fan thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was another 45 minutes about a piece to build them, and then was like, oh cool, it's a little dude, and now it's just armor so that samurai and ninja can come together.
You need ninja samurai.
Ninja pirates. Ninjas and pirates can come together. And then if you have the I don't know, you could put the legs and have another
totally combination. Combine them all together.
But yeah, and the vaguely citrusy candy that comes with it.
Lemonade.
Yeah. But that's it.
All right. Well, I only have two off-topic things to talk about, so I kind of want to... One of them's quick, and the other one's a bit of a... It's more of a story, but I wanted to share these. The first one is I got nailed by customs on something. I haven't been nailed by customs in a while. This had $17 customs charge on it, and it was already expensive because it was on a back order at HLJ. But now I can totally say that it's time to go to space! So I got me one of these little things you stick switches into, so I'm on board the next money sink of collectible plastic things. But it's neat, and it's stupid bulky, but it's stupid bulky enough to be awesome. So I got me a Forze belt. And if you want to get a Forze belt, then you probably already were going to. And if you were debating it, then I'd like to know who you are. Because I was thinking about it today. I cannot actually fathom the idea of someone debating one of these things beyond debating if they have enough money for it. Like, there's debating, do I have enough money to afford this, and do I want it enough to buy it? And there's debating, like, does it accurately deliver the things I'm looking for? Because guess what? It makes noise. And you stick things in and out of it. And that's... If you already know what it's going to say when you're sticking things into it, too. So, you've kind of probably already made the decision of whether you want it as a possession, and it's more so, do you want to spend money on it or not? So... I'll leave that up to you.
After fighting my way through getting all the medals and whatnot for the O's belt, I am happy where I am.
Really? You really are happy where you are?
You enjoy.
You really are happy where you are.
Making belt. Yep.
Because you can totally just flip the switches. It's so satisfying.
That's why I got myself my magic hand switch, just to have one to be like, okay, this is what it is. That's what they're all going to be, unless I get the noisemaky thing, in which case I'm going to, well, you can hack the noisemaky thing anyway, so that wouldn't be quite as much of an issue, but I'm good.
Are you sure? See, you have a magic hand switch, you said.
Yep.
Because, you know, it doesn't do anything on its own.
Yeah, it does this, and then that.
Yeah, but guess what? When I take mine and I stick it in here, it goes like this. And that's kind of cool. And when I flip it, it actually says something. So I'm just saying, you might want to consider, you know, looking into this thing.
I now have that moment for all eternity. Thank you.
Are you sure? Because I was talking over a whole lot of it.
That's all right. I know how to make your voice go away.
You can't make my voice go away for very long. Not with the implants. Do you like chainsaws? Because you got chainsaws, too. I'm going to do it to you. Anyway, I have a story to tell now. It's not very long, but it's very weird. Do you guys know about Saints Row the Third?
Yes.
The new Saints Row game that just came out? Okay, it's a very good game. Let me just open up by saying, not only is it a very good game, ever since, like, three trailers ago, I was like, I am going to buy Saints Row the Third at some point. Because I loved Saints Row 2, which was actually given to me by Seth Buzzard some time ago. And it was a very fun game. The other night, I get a message, and they said, hey, this is kind of weird. I take a look, and basically, one of the assassination missions in the game had some very interesting text on it. I'm going to link you guys to my blog post that really explains a lot of this stuff. But long story short, me and a friend of mine are in Saints Row the Third. Literally. It is us.
What?
Yes. Did you miss my blog post?
Yeah, you haven't linked the blog post.
Oh, I was talking about two nights ago. I was flipping out because at first I thought
egomaniac. I saw those tweets.
At first I thought it was a Photoshop, but then I found it on an FAQ site, and I thought, oh, maybe that, because that's like Wikipedia. Someone could just edit that. But then, you know, some people said no, it's in the game. A friend of mine. This is all based out of the Cape Radio. That's where a lot of this stuff is coming from. Another one of the Cape Radio DJs says, no, I played it. And then I went and apologized to Enigma for assassinating her in that mission. And I was like, what? Because basically this mission is from DJ Vangela telling you to kill DJ Enigmas. And I go by DJ Vangelis on the Cape, and my friend goes by DJ Enigma on the Cape. So, yeah, basically that wigged me out. And so yesterday, while hemming and hawing, I was like, hey, it's like $15 cheaper to buy this game on Steam. I forgot I have Steam, and I forgot I have a vaguely modern graphics card now, so I bought Saints Row the Third last night, and then
You should have gotten in contact with them and gotten yourself a free damn copy.
Why?
Yeah.
They put me in the game already.
Yeah, but be like, hey, look.
That's kind of hell of pushing your luck. Like, yo, guys, you unsolicitedly put me into a really good game. Give me a copy now.
or at least uses that to open the dialogue. Be like, hey, holy cow, who is it that
that was the friend that came up with these. And
let me tell you what my thought process is.
And I
want
to talk to them. And then afterwards, you can be like, yo, Steam copy, dude.
No, my thought process is this. I want to buy it on Steam. And then probably come Boxing Day, I might buy it again on PS3. Because now I extra want to support this game. This is a great way to sell somebody a game. Put them in it without telling them. And then let them discover it. That's going to make that person buy the game. Let me tell you something. And, not only was there this, but I went flipping through the part of the game in your PDA where you get these missions. And there's also a series of missions called car theft missions. And one of the people asking you to steal a car is, you see, in City of Heroes, I did, and I still try to do a lot of in-character roleplay stuff in City of Heroes, as do a lot of the Cape Radio folks and my friend Andy, who is DJ Enigma, and who got me into doing the stuff that led to me doing this podcast and videos and whatnot. One of my, always will be my sensei into digital media. Andy has other characters, and one of the car theft missions is from another one of her characters. And I know that Andy didn't work on the game, so
now,
it is...
Dude, you seriously got to get in contact with these people and find out who the fan is, and if nothing else, say, hey, cool, I saw it, that's awesome.
Well, I was thinking about that, but at the same time, what if they don't want to say something because they could get in trouble for saying it? Because then I'm kind of like, now I want to, like, I'm gonna flip out about it a little bit, I'm going to say the stuff that's clearly in the game, but I'm going to also try to maybe leave it alone afterwards.
Having it at this extent, I don't see how sending them an email saying, hey, yo, you know, this is me, blah, 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 blah. Not be like, yo, I do want a copy. Just be like, you know, hey, this is cool. Thanks. I think that that would give a better positive feedback on anything.
Oh, I do want to, I'm going to this weekend figure out what Volition's email is and just send them a thanks, because it made that night crazy in a good way, because I was just like, what? And then I was like, it's not even that it was in the game, it's in the single game of the November 15th week, amidst all the other games, amidst Skyrim, amidst the new Assassin's Creed game, that Saints Row the Third is the one game that I was actually thinking of buying first of all those games. And then I was just like, what? And yeah, if you can ever scroll through my Twitter spam and find what I was tweeting that night, you will see the recurring theme of me saying WTF in a far more expanded fashion several times in a row. Yeah. That was frigging crazy. But I bought Saints Row the Third, and you know what? It's a really good game. And if you have a fun sense of humor and you just want to be crazy, you should buy the game. It's my favorite open world game that I've ever played so far, because it's so beautifully self-aware, and the writing of it is very smart, because there are many times where it does a joke, and if it just did that joke, you'd be like, okay, whatever, I guess that was supposed to be funny, but it actually does the joke, and then it just friggin' commits to it and pushes it, like, Giant Bomb mentioned this. There's a part in the game where two characters start singing along to a car in the radio while they're driving. And if you just keep driving or you stop the car, they recorded the two actors, or in this case, actually the seven actors, because there's six different voices for your character. They sing the entire song. And they don't just sing the entire song, but they screw it up now and then. They laugh at each other while they mess it up.
Yeah.
They go all the way with that joke. There's another one that Pierce does at one point, which is really dumb, but then, like, they just, oh, I know. Okay. There's a part where you're doing something that someone told you not to do, and they're yelling at you. And then Pierce goes like, I'm sorry. I can't quite hear you really. Obviously, if they just done that, it would have been like, okay, whatever. That was dumb. Then the character you're talking to goes like, there's nothing wrong with the radio. You're just making those noises yourself. And then your character starts doing the exact same thing Pierce did. Doing like, no, it was solar radiation. Like, they just keep pushing the joke like that and making it going. They take it from being a forgettable joke to like, no, everyone is straight-facedly going along with this. And that's what really got me into it. I don't know. It's a fun game. I like Saints Row the Third. There's also dildos in it. But you knew that, because that's all they advertised. And yeah, that's the crazy story about why I bought Saints Row the Third. the crazy ass, crazy, crazy. Okay, Omegas, carry us out of this off topic, because otherwise I'm just going to sit here going like, guys, what's going on? Why am I? What is this? What? Like, that's all I'm going to be saying until someone else talks. So, Omega.
How am I supposed to top that? How do I follow that?
I don't know. You don't got to top it. Just get us past it.
Not like I was put into Skyrim or anything.
Guys!
Just get us past it.
I'm in Saints Row the Third!
Shut up.
Shush.
Yo!
TJ, go.
Yo, guys!
Go. Go right now.
Guys, I think go I'm in now. Saints Row the Third, guys! It's kind of freaking me out. I can't play that mission because I feel like something bad will happen if I play that mission.
If you're taking missions from yourself, what does it mean? It's all recursive.
Something bad will happen.
Infinite feedback.
What
loop.
Does it say about you that you are assassinating your friends in a video game for $500, you cheap bastard?
Guys, I don't know what's happening and I don't know who I am. I'm taking my clothes off. Start
God, now
talking.
Now I am going. My OCC collection grew with Taja Doru.
Oh, that's a very good OCC figure.
Yeah, it is. I can do that thing now that everybody does and have Tata Ba with a crazy head.
That's fun.
And I can have the combo everyone likes, which is the one that Takatora Condor.
Yes, or you can have the condor legs with other stuff.
Yes, that's how the gimmick works.
That's my favorite thing about that figure.
Mm. I'm finally starting to get into... I've got enough of these things, I can finally get into some really crazy non-show combinations. Which just leaves me three more to go. They're hard to find. I can understand why. These things are fun.
Go for it. Get them all.
I'm trying
get them
to.
All. Buy them
trying
all.
To. A little tricky to track down.
It's rogue.
So as I mentioned, I went to an anime con over the weekend.
Yes.
Which, it's fun going to those local cons because they're smaller. That way, you know, the interactions are a little bit more personable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, toy-wise, you know, aside from walking away with, you know, stalkers and that kind of thing, I picked up a couple of these little mini Godzillas.
Yeah, who does those?
They're by Bandai.
Okay.
Yeah, they even have the little four dot thing on the bottom.
Huh.
I love how that's the thing now that people look for. Like, oh, it's the four dots. That means that it may or may not ever be reissued by Bandai.
Yeah. This means there's only four reissues left, man. Gotta hurry up and get one.
Oh, I remember when people first saw those and they thought there was a hard science.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, don't worry, man. That's never had its three-dot release. There's going to be three more reissues of that. It's like, no, there isn't.
It's just a marker. It means nothing else.
Yeah, there might be three more reissues. There might also be three more reissues of G1 Scorponok. You never know.
Well... but I found out the two I picked out, they're really neat little figures. I'm not even sure how these are sold, because with the tails, I'm not sure they fit into a capsule of any sort.
I want to say I saw them in blind boxes, but I do not know for sure, because I wasn't totally paying attention. I just remember seeing something similar to that in sort of large-ish candy boxes.
All right. I ended up picking up... I found out later, because I had to take them home and get the little and get the text translated.
Mm.
I got the New Age Godzilla, which this particular one. What's neat about these is it does recreate a little scene from particular Godzilla movies.
Mm-hmm.
So the New Age Godzilla happens to be from Tokyo SOS, which is Godzilla, Mothra, Mechagodzilla.
Bad at Godzilla. So bad at Godzilla.
Anyway, he is neat. The level of details on these things is incredible. He's got the little the coloration on the chest, like the radiation's kind of bursting out of him a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
Like the modern one has. You know, the teeth are individually painted and all that. I love the detail level on Japanese little collectibles. And the vintage one I picked up happened to be from Godzilla vs. Megalon, which is the one with Jet Jaguar.
Okay, I know that movie.
The Ultraman knockoff, where the one that was on MST3K. He did the sliding drop kick that everybody remembers. Why is this not of the sliding drop kick?
Well, why is Jet Jaguar represented at all anywhere on it, or is it just Godzilla?
Here's the weird thing. It's the little title card on it literally says Godzilla versus Megalon, but it's just the classic Godzilla and this like tree-filled hillside.
It's the famous tree-filled hillside from Godzilla versus Megalon.
Because there's so few of those in Godzilla movies.
Yeah, he's always walking on magma and turtles.
Right.
And
well, you know, those times he's
magma
flying.
Magma turtles.
Magma turtles.
Magma turtles.
Chocolate exactly. Rain.
What? Huh?
Saints Row.
They are neat. It's nice just having a little bit of Godzilla swag. We don't have enough.
Yeah. Oh,
much as I like that.
You're gonna have the best Godzilla swag soon when Monster Arts comes out. Just save up your $80
per
figure
God.
And you'll be set to go.
God, I spent the entire weekend hanging out with one Apollo Z hack and ended up talking
like him.
He is awesome.
I need to record another podcast with him. He was fun to talk to.
Invite me. God, he is fun to hang out with. Like we got along way better than we should have.
Well, he's a very nice guy. I've only talked to him the one time on Skype, but I talked to him a bit afterwards, and I had a good interaction with him. I stayed in touch with him on Facebook. He's a nice dude.
Yeah, very cool guy. Yeah, he ended up buying the Revoltech Gamera at the same show.
Aw. Did he get one? Because he told me he got one on Twitter.
That's the one he got. I got to goof around with it a little bit.
I almost bought that once.
See, I didn't pick up anything that cool at the show. What I did pick up, when I came home from MetroCon, I had what equated to little replica Pokemon badges.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, the vinyl ones that look exactly like they do in the anime.
Hmm.
Very well crafted, very neat. At this show, I ended up picking up series 2, 3, and 4.
Are those, I forgot, are those official or are they fan-made?
They are fan-made.
That's kind of cool.
As far as I know, there aren't official releases of the badges. I could be wrong, because I haven't looked that much into Japanese Pokemon toys. But I know in the U.S., they only released 4 and then stopped altogether.
Yeah, I'm really curious about who, like, the history behind those, because, like, you know, Who decided, like, no, I'm going to be the one who makes the Pokemon badges? And
whoever gave Nintendo more money.
Oh, are they licensed?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because that's the thing, like, especially because they use vinyl as well, which I find to be a very interesting material right now.
Well, the nice thing about the vinyl is that it creates a matte finish, so they look exactly like they came out of the anime. You know, the colors and the shines are in the exact location, and it doesn't waver depending on where the light is.
And vinyl can take a beating, too.
Yeah.
I like vinyl. You know, my favorite part of vinyl is when you do this. Make that awesome pop noise.
Yeesh.
Vinyl.
The neat thing about this, they came off a website called Sanshi,
mm-hmm.
which does a lot of cool little fan-made pins of all kinds. They have vinyl hearts from Legend of Zelda, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're vinyl. You could just chuck those at dudes.
Yeah, pretty much. The weird thing is, on the site, you'll only find the Generation 1 and 2 badges. At the show, they had 3
mm-hmm.
and 4 and 5 that were in metal.
So they manufactured the metal ones as well?
Yeah, they have metal ones as well, and they're going to start making the older ones in metal, too.
I'm not someone who's probably going to buy those, but I'm always interested, especially when if it is like a fan driven thing. I'm always curious about like the motivation to go to metal with that stuff, unless it was just a cost effective thing.
In this case, there were two things. Number one, series 4 and 5 is when they started getting into the DS, where the badges were specifically metallic.
Oh, okay.
And with the... especially with Pokemon White, where the badges aren't so much round or squarish in design, more symmetrical style badges, they are vertical. Very narrow and thin, which would be exceedingly difficult to do at the same scale in vinyl.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I was curious about that, because I was wondering, like, why would you... I mean, the metal is definitely great, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because I got this really cool rig from the Glios line, but I've really kind of fallen for the feel of vinyl. Like, I don't want to collect designer vinyls, really, but just when, you know, something like that.
Right.
Like just some really cool little pins. Vinyl just seems like such a great material for that.
Yeah. Well, what bugs me about it is I've got four sets of these. I'll probably get the fifth ones when I get around to it, but it bugs me that I have three sets that are in vinyl and then one set that's in metal.
Yeah, it must be kind of weird.
Yeah, the differentiating materials. The neat thing is that they're going to do kind of a... I'm not sure what kind of program you would call it, but if you had bought the vinyl metals by the time they produce all the old ones in metal, you can, you know, as long as you can prove, hey, I bought these old ones from you, you get a discount on the new metal ones.
That's cool. What's
more sales of those as well.
What's the site called again?
Sanshi, which was Sanshee.
Okay, sanshee.com.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm contractually obligated because I got a couple pins free for buying so many.
Well, I'm sure, I mean, I was kind of joked, like, I'm not really that attached to Pokemon, but I know there's a ton of people who are, so I'm sure the information's useful to some folks if they want to look into that stuff.
For me, it's just like, I've got this little missing gap in my old collection thing, because I used to collect the Pokemon toys pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. And it always bugged me that they never released any other badges besides, like, the first four.
Yeah.
You know, it all just seemed like such an enormous missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many people
actually
played past the first, like, three or four gems before they put it down the game? Like, screw this.
Too hard.
God, I need a fire type to beat this gym leader. Screw it.
I need a winning type to beat this gym leader. That's pretty cool. I was curious if you were going to get new, because I remember when you were talking about, because you'd found those pins a long time, not a long time ago, but
no, a few months ago.
Yeah, so several months ago, and I was wondering if you're going to track down any more.
It's nicer to get them at the show because they're cheaper at the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool because it's the actual guy who produces them that's selling them at the booth. So
I like that a lot. I don't know if it shows from the way that I was flipping out about all the good times I had at New York Comic Con, but some of those guys who make those things can be really cool guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I like that a lot. it's a good spirit. When you're making something that's essentially a toy or a collectible or a toy thing, and you got a good attitude about it, That's such a great combination of things.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, guess what? I'm making these because I think they're cool, and I think other people want them.
Plus, it goes back to the beginning of our episode with the interviews with designers. It's neat to be able to have that touchstone of, like, this is actually something that somebody does, not something that gets kicked out of a factory preformed and... That's all it is.
And if you're buying it right from the guy who makes them, then you kind of get that that thing you get from when you buy stuff on Etsy, where it's like, hey, I'm supporting the artist. Hey, woo.
You feel bad about haggling, though?
I didn't haggle for a single Glios at New York Comic Con, as far as I remember.
Like, hey, man, the guy that makes these isn't going to know that you lost a little bit. Oh. You're the guy that...
Hey, you're the guy who makes these. You're bringing product that's not going to be out for another week and a half, but, you know, I'm going to buy a whole bunch. Just give me a deal.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you
Come
already
on, the, bo- the boss will never know.
I know you priced these already at cost, but give me a deal.
don't you know who I am?
I was in Saints Row the Third.
Okay, can I finish off this haul now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I see your Forza driver and I raise you.
Mine's newer.
Mine's rarer.
It is much rarer.
Far, far rarer.
That's a Fize driver.
Mm-hmm. My friend Oliver had a huge hookup with this. I don't go into details on it, but
people died.
Don't look at the unmarked grave behind my house.
People died, and somehow a pregnancy happened.
I'm gonna be on the Maury show soon. it's unfortunate. Like, I guess you go to eBay or you go to Yahoo Auctions Japan, you see the price that these things go for, and it's impossible for the toy to actually live up to the price tag, unfortunately.
I have an Oga driver, and at the time I dropped like $80 on that Oga driver because someone bought it while they were in Japan for me when I was like, when was that? That's like, I was like, 2004?
Right.
No, it's 2003. I was 19. Right. I got an Oga driver when it came out, special ordered, like $80-$85, and it was so cool for a while. But then I was like, man, this was $85.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is that the price is based solely on rarity because the newer belts do so much more than the old ones.
Yes,
like this is a really really cool toy. Like,
it's a cell phone, and it comes with a belt, makes noises, cell phone can turn into a gun, and it's got like a whole bunch of codes you can plug in, right? So it's fully featured.
Yeah, and it's one of those smart guns that I like because there is an ammo limit, there's a recharge combination.
Yeah, it's a really cool toy. It's like and the cool thing about those Fize toys imagine you bend a cell phone sideways like an old timey flip cell phone. Man, old timey flip.
Old timey.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Back in my day.
It's so true.
We had to turn the phones in
half. Look at the Fize phone and tell me that looks modern. And I'm going to go, like, maybe 8 years ago.
Not really.
It looks like an 8-year-old cell phone. But you crack it in half, basically. And, like, and there's two firing modes, but it always will remember how many bullets you use. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's an exceptionally cool toy. It's very nice to have. Just, seriously, wait for a collector to get out of the hobby, because don't pay the premium.
No, because what? How much does that usually go for right now? Like what? $150?
I've seen it north of $200.
Oh God, no! Don't pay $200 for it. If you're gonna drop $200, you may as well go nuts and go get the complete selection. If you're gonna go that high,
that's even worse.
That went up too.
It's all up.
Oh, man.
Well, also, how much of that is just how rough the yen is in comparison to the dollar?
Hey. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because there's so much stuff that in like figure arts and whatnot that I would be more than happy to jump on right now, but that currency exchange has just been beat up more and more.
Yeah.
And you got that nefarious...
It's like 75 to 72 yen to the dollar right now, and that just makes it so painful.
And you got that nefarious villain Piaw trying to get more people into Kamen Rider, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, so congrats on getting a Fize belt for what I assume to be not $250.
Oh, good.
$249.
Here I am. I still have more to go.
Oh, well.
Now let's see me go broke and, open up a second mortgage on the house just to get a Kuga belt.
which will never fit an adult human being.
Exactly.
Ever.
Big plastic loop.
Anyway, did you get anything else at ShadowCon?
Well, I didn't get the Fize driver at ShadowCon. But...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say, if you got that must have been, I was going to say, if you got that at a convention, that would have been a crazy walk out of the dealer room where you're like, I wonder if someone's really going to do it and just like take a fish hook to the back of my head and just like run off with the belt as I collapse.
No, I did take it to a Kamen Rider panel that was there though.
Did someone pull a gun on you?
They pulled another toy on me.
Oh.
Oh God, that did remind me. I did pick up a Kamen Rider bit at ShadowCon.
Uh-oh.
Which is basically is just this little vinyl Kamen Rider Nego.
Oh, cool.
Standee. Yeah, which
have I mentioned I like vinyl lately? Have I mentioned that?
I think so. I think that's come up in conversation.
Yeah. The weird thing is like every year at MetroCon, there's this huge booth with Dragon Ball Z figurines, like in the same like old scruffy guy. The scruffy beard guy that's running the booth.
Scruffy beard guy.
See, I don't know his name. Like, I know the guy because I see him every year, but I don't know his name.
Yo, scruffy beard guy, sell me some bottles. I was in Saints Row 3.
Oh, boy. But at ShadowCon, the dealer's room is so much smaller, he can't lay out his huge, long-ass tables. So they're in, like, a square. So if I'm looking at the Dragon Ball Z side of the square, I can look over to another side of the square and see underneath the tables. And underneath the tables, he has this stack of Kamen Rider figures. Like, they're under the table. These are illicit Rider toys.
And they're made from the bones of children. Like all vinyl.
Yeesh. That made Apollo go nuts because apparently he scoured that dealer room for Rider stuff and found nothing. And all of a sudden I come up to the hotel room. Hey, look what I found.
Did he not learn? Look under the table?
Exactly.
First trick. You want to find something cheap and neat, you look under the table. The $5 bin.
Oh, God, he was $5, too.
You see, that's why I'm in Saints Row, man.
Okay, now I'm done.
All right. I guess that's all we got this week. I guess that's all we have for you this week. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back again next week with more WTFATFW, where hopefully I won't be gripped in crippling sleep deprivation. Although, oddly enough, doing this podcast has made my headache go away.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
The caffeine I told you to take.
You know what? I didn't take caffeine. I just believed the caffeine was inside me this entire time.
Coke Zero?
Shut up.
Caffeine?
No, it has zero everything. It's not even liquid. There's nothing in Coke Zero. I'm not addicted. Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Omegas, for coming by and sticking it out and chilling out. We'll be back again. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. And did I tell you guys about Saints Row?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think I caught it.
It's so crazy, man. What? I don't understand what's going on here. And me and Andy are in what? And not British Andy. Not British Andy. No, this is the original Andy. This is A-N-D-I Andy. This is Hydrophidian DJ Enigma. Mentor to everything I have ever done that I love right now. Andy, we are both in our... It's Saints Row?
Yeah, I'm going to go get a soda. You let me know when
so
he finishes.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm just planning on hitting stop here and starting the encode process.
What happened? What? Oh, I'm going to smell these vinyl things.